Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Friday, February 26th edition of the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy, the most imitated Sotomayor. Yes, that is correct. I am the original entity in your world that is differentiating myself from the counterfeits with my views. And I'd like to thank you for joining me tonight for the latest installment of Your World, My Views. Thank you all for joining us on this past Wednesday's show where we discuss the idea of habitual line stepping. And before we get into the show, I would like to bring in my wonderful co-hosts, my co-hostess, Miss Renee Bishop. How you doing?
I'm doing great for a Friday night. How about you?
I'm doing fabulous. I'm cracking open my bottle of Moscato. I got my glass of water nearby.
Oh.
I have a pizza coming. And there are going to be times where I'm eating, and I'm not going to say a word. And you're going to have to take over the show.
So you're going to eat in my ear, and I'm going to be here hungry.
No, I'm not going to eat in your ear.
Oh.
I'm not small enough to fit there, first off. And second off, I think that'd be quite nasty with all the wax nearby. But habitual line stepping, that was the last show. Let me ask you, what did you think about that topic of that show?
That topic was quite interesting. You know, so many times the line gets a little blurred. People do, certainly. They kind of lay out on the line. On that line, so it was a good topic.
Hey, you're breaking up, Charlotte. You're breaking up.
Oh.
What's going on with that?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. I'm a little disappointed. Now, would you like to say everything you said, and this time to where we can hear it?
I said that it was a great show, a great topic. I said, a lot of times people hang out on that line. They don't, you know, necessarily step on it. They just chill and camp out on it.
Oh. Well, that's what a habitual person was. He just always on that line. What were one of the things that you thought of that just really irked you, that seemed like that somebody, and you ain't got to call them out, but they just do all the time? It could be me. I don't know it's me when you're talking about me.
Oh, I know you would. See, that's why I wouldn't call you out. But
no, I wouldn't be offended. I habitually step on a lot of lines.
Yeah.
It's better to be a habitual line stepper than a habitual line sniffer now. I'm going to throw that out there.
You know, there's so many things that people push the envelope in. It could be work. I have coworkers that constantly have lunch hours that actually are an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Hold up.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's right. Like Dr. Dre, boy. That's a good one, because that used to be me right there. I don't care what my boss told me about how long the lunch was.
Oh, no.
This is how long it was going to be.
Oh.
You might have thought it was only supposed to be an hour.
Uh-huh.
You might have told me I was supposed to get back at a certain time. That's what you said.
Well, they're of a different persuasion, so I think that they're allowed to do it.
Ah. So just get on your nerve, though, when they do it, even though they lie. Does that mean you just hating?
I'm not hating. I'm just, you know, I follow the rules, most of them anyway.
I know me. It's I've never been a rule follower. I try my best sometimes, and I try to make it work. I'd be like, you know, I'm not really gonna not say this. I'm not gonna do this. I'm gonna get to work at 8:30. I know they told me if I'm late again, they're gonna fire me. Why is it so much harder to do something when you know you're on that deadline? If you ever do this again, if your girl tell you, or your man, whoever you're with, they say, if you come home late again, it's over. Or if the girl tell you, if you cheat on me again, it's over. Everybody want to sleep with you at that point. Just come through. Just walk outside. I'll give it to you. You're like, where were y'all at when she didn't put this ultimatum on me? What your parents tell you? If you stay out late again, I'm taking the car. What happened on that night when they tell you that? They're throwing a party. You can't miss this party, dog. You hate. Like, daggummit. It's horrible. I don't know. Well, there's a few things about habitual lying, Stephan, that I don't like, and I got a new one now. Okay. I got blessed out yesterday. This chick got mad at me because I put on the post. Now, it's funny because this chick always thumbs up in my post when I'm talking about babies, daddies that don't pay the child support, when I'm talking about men that don't know how to treat a lady. Oh, she thumbing up and telling me to get them. All I said yesterday was, and I don't know how bad it was. I don't even have the precise quote, but all I said was something to the effect of, "Well, if you got a couple kids and you're in your 30s, quit running around telling people that you're a good catch, because you're not a good catch. But honestly, you might be a good catch for somebody, but you're a good catch, and it comes along with baggage. They're having to accept baggage. They're having it. Period. All of us." If we're in our 30s, people are having to accept baggage. Now, there was one girl jumped on there, and she was like, well, wait a minute, I don't have any kids. And I was like, you know what, she's right. She don't have any kids, and she has less baggage, and she would choose to be by herself. It would make sense. But then you got these people again, you got all these kids talking about them, I'm a good catch, and every time it's something wrong, it wasn't your fault, it was the man who you used to date. It's always the man who you used to date's fault. I don't really understand that. What do you do that at anyway? Why is it always somebody else's fault?
It's just easier to pass the blame because you're not going to ask that other person.
Yep. So she's single with all them kids, by all them different men because they wrong, but ain't never been married. So and she jumps on there and was explaining why I got it wrong. I was like, well, you know, and she did. She got the cuss out. Oh, y'all stupid. Everybody on the post now was stupid. I was like, are you okay? And I was like, the one guy said, he said, you look like an 8 when I saw your picture until I heard you open your mouth.
Oh.
And you went down to a 3. Like, what makes people get so upset that something I post can make them mad?
But you know, it's power. You have a power, and they, you know, they either love you or they hate you, and they just take everything personal. It's like a shout-out. So you're specifically talking to them and nobody else. None of the other 2,000-3,000 people that are on your Facebook page is just exclusively her.
I was like, lady, I don't know you. And then she deleted me. She got that upset with me that she was like, and I'm going to delete you, man. And I was so hurt, too, that I got deleted. I was like, oh, man, this is horrible. But here it is, Friday. Enjoy the Friday. Love talking about the past show. But I want to bring in my girl, because it's time for us. Do you know what it's time for?
If you're bringing in a girl, I would say it's time for a segment on fitness.
Fitness. Yes, it is. It is time for fitness. Yes, sir. It is time for your fitness, and we're about to bring in Miss Juliana. Lady, are you there?
Hi, Thomas.
Hey, girl. What's up?
Hey.
I'm doing fantastic. And I heard that you're doing fantastic. I'm a little hurt, but I think I'll get over it.
Why are you hurt, Thomas?
I looked on your Facebook page, and you done found a new love. You broke up with me real quick. Dadgummit.
Hey, you know, market. I'm sorry.
I just hurt. Now I got to deal with one of these chicks that I don't want.
Oh, please.
Well, Miss Juliana, we really missed you last week. People gained about 15 pounds since they didn't get a chance to talk to you.
Oh, Lord.
So you need to set them back straight, get them back in line. So tell them what is it that you want to talk to them about today.
I want to talk about the dirty deed of overeating.
Ooh.
I'm sure you know what that is because we are all guilty of it. We all do it. Overeating, I believe, is going to be the new death threat to all of us simply because, you know, it's over the past 20, 30 years, our food intake has definitely increased. And there's a bunch of reasons why, a bunch of research behind it also that can back all this up. But the bottom line is, you know, we're overweight. And one of the main reasons is because of the calories that we eat. So that's what I am looking forward to talking to tonight. And hopefully teach our listeners a few things about overeating and what we can do to slow it down and eat a little less, but still be able to eat nutritiously and enjoy our food at the same time.
Okay, well, explain what you mean by the term, because we all know it, but explain what you mean by the term of overeating.
Overeating is when you sit down to a meal and you eat more than what is necessary for your body. I mean, basically, you know, we eat to survive. We eat to nourish our bodies. We eat for energy. You know, we have fundamental reasons why we need to eat. But a lot of times when we eat, there are other factors involved that cause us to continue eating. It roughly takes our stomach about 20 minutes to relay to the brain that we're full. And once those 20
right.
minutes go by, you could have already scarfed down two plates of food. So a lot of times we have an issue with understanding when we're full. And a lot of people don't realize that. And a lot of people, I'm sure I have been guilty of it, will sit there 30 minutes into the meal and like, oh, my gosh, I'm stuffed to the gills. And that's normal for a lot of people. We overeat, but there's reasons why we overeat. I mean, then the number one thing is we eat good food. We eat food that tastes good, food that makes us feel better. You know, our mom's home cooking, a restaurant that we like to go to every Friday night or maybe a few nights a week. Or, you know, we like to, you know, cook ourselves and we make what's delicious. Because, like me, everyone enjoys to sit down and eat a good meal, a delicious meal at that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have access to it, and it's in front of us, and it tastes really good, we overeat. And a lot of people are uneducated on how much they should be eating, because a lot of people don't even know how many calories they need to be eating at each sitting. Nobody's going to sit there and try and figure out, oh, I need to eat between 350 and 600 calories, and I can't go past that. Nobody's going to sit there and count their calories. Who wants to do that, especially when you have a homemade meal and then probably a nice, yummy dessert at the end of your meal?
Yeah, and see, that's why I asked what is the definition of overeating, because to each person it would differentiate, right? Wouldn't it have some? I know how I used to look at it was, how many calories am I burning per day? If I'm eating more than I'm burning, I'm overeating.
So Thomas, how many calories do you think you burn in a day?
Whew, I used to be able to burn. What was it? Because they had me on a regimen where I had to eat at least, it was 5,000 calories a day because I was burning about, I think I was burning about a little over 6 or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it was in college when I was doing that, when I was on the football team. And they
wow.
would, that when they would put together your, what you had to eat in order to maintain a certain weight. And I needed to be for my position. They tried to get me up to 195, and that's not my natural body weight. So okay, that's what it was. They had me on. I think it was like 5,000 calories because I was eating around, or I was burning about 4. So it would keep my weight up if I would be 1,000 over that. I'm not really sure, but go ahead.
Well, that makes sense because if you want to put on weight, you want to eat more than what you're burning. So that makes perfect sense. But not everybody knows what they're burning. I know what I burn on a regular basis because of the device that I wear in my arm. But not everybody knows that. A lot of people don't even know what their metabolism is. What's a metabolism? What is that about? And the easiest way for me to explain that to my clients and friends is to say your body is a machine, okay, and it runs off of energy, energy being food. Your body's going to burn an X amount of calories in order to maintain its weight or to get through its daily activities. So for me, on a busy day, I can burn about 2,600, 2,700 calories. I'm a very active girl. I work on my feet. I'm lifting weights for my clients. I go work out. I do cardio. So for me to maintain my weight, I need to eat roughly 2,500 to 2,600 calories just to maintain my weight. Now I'm going to give everybody, if you have a piece of paper and a pen, write this down because this is important. If you want to learn about your calories, you need to know what each macronutrient is worth. So for protein, for every gram of protein, you have 4 kilocalories. For every gram of carbohydrate, carbohydrate is going to be like some rice or pasta or bread or vegetables. For every gram of carbohydrate, it's also 4 kilocalories. Now, this is a stickler right here. For fat, for every gram, it's 9 kilocalories. So fat has twice as many calories as a gram of protein or carbohydrate. So they're not created equal. Okay, and then alcohol also has its own. It has 7 kilocalories for every gram of alcohol. So now that you know what everything has, because I want our listeners to learn how to read a nutrition label, okay?
Exactly.
And I definitely post something up on Facebook on the page where that they can understand how to read a nutrition label if they don't understand it, because that's important. Because a lot of people, they don't know what they're eating. They don't know when they cook a box of pasta and pastaroni that there's 1 or 2 servings in there, and sometimes they'll eat the whole box in a sitting, and that's way too much. So they need to understand how many calories they're eating. And I want that, and eventually, and it's going to take us some time, and I'll start posting some blogs up for them. I want them to learn how to count calories, and I want them to learn how to maintain their weight. And, I mean, there's a science behind this. And I know I said this in the very beginning, but the first thing we need to learn is how to eat nutritious meals throughout the day and not overeat, because that's why we're gaining so much weight. So some of the other things that cause us to overeat, I mean, first one I said, food tastes good. It's highly palatable. Restaurants, food companies are working hard every day to make food taste good. You know,
right.
We get excited, and our senses get involved. When you smell, see the texture of food, we get excited about that. It tastes good. It makes us feel good. You know, we get, if you want to say, a high off of food. I mean, that's why a lot of women love chocolate. And I do say women because I know I'm being stereotypical, but it's the truth. We love chocolate. It's a sense of euphoria, and we like that. You know, you'll hear a woman say, oh, it's better than sex. I'm going to have to disagree with that, but there's no that if there is a man there ready to go and then a plate of chocolate and yays, be like, yeah, I'll talk to you later. I'm going to enjoy my beignets real quick. So, I mean, and it's the honest about food. I'm serious. I mean, food just tastes good, and we want it, and we want more of it. And the food companies in America have found ways to keep us coming back for more. What's Frito-Lay's motto, their little slogan?
Oh, yeah, you can't just eat one.
Thank you very much. And you know what? It makes sense to me now because your body craves that type of stuff. Your body's going to crave those high starchy carbs. Anything with fat and salt, your body is going to want it because it tastes good. Okay. Another reason is because food is readily available. Every corner in Houston, Texas, there's a Jack in the Box, a Burger King, a grocery store, a restaurant. We have every type of diverse food here in Texas. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. So if I'm hungry at 2 a.m, guess what? I can go to Jack in the Box. If I'm hungry, you know, early in the morning before a lot of places open up, I can go find a breakfast at IHOP. And these are high-fat foods because these restaurants have made it their business to make food taste good. So they have their customers coming back and buying their food. It's all about the money, of course, but at the same time, they want to make the consumers happy. So readily available food everywhere. And you know what? Sometimes we eat just because we're bored. Did you know that? You ever find yourself sitting there like, man, what am I going to do? You go to the and what do? You go to the kitchen.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
ask you. Don't, like, what people eat, and again, like you, I don't want to be stereotypical, but people eat for different reasons. Like, sometimes people, when you say overeat, they won't notice that they're overeating, meaning their body won't let them know that they're overeating because their stomach becomes big enough to be able to keep the comfort, so-called comfort food that they have. If they're depressed, if they don't go to the club, if they're sad, those are times in which they'll eat, and their body will get used to putting on those calories, and they'll eat like I ate as an athlete. Again, I was an athlete at D1 school, and I'm bringing in 5,000 calories, but I'm working that off. But they're working in an office building, but they're bringing in probably as many calories as I'm bringing in, or like you, around 2,400 calories, but they're not burning any. How do they stop from using food as a comfort food, as a comforting measure?
You have to change your habits. You have to make an effort to change your habits. One of the first things I tell my clients is clean out your pantry, clean out your refrigerator, because if it's in there, if you have a what's going on right now, Girl Scout cookies, are y'all having that over there in Atlanta too? Isn't it all across America?
Oh, my goodness, they are.
Okay, if you're going to go and order 10 boxes of Girl Scout cookies, they're going to be in your pantry, and guess what you're going to eat for the next month and a half? Girl Scout cookies. So if it's in your pantry or in your refrigerator, you're going to eat it. And then this is my favorite part. Oh, well, I don't want to waste any food, so I'm not going to throw it away. And I understand that, and I understand there are people who are hungry and don't have food, and you don't want to waste. But why not give it to a neighbor? Why not go give it to the guy under the freeway? I mean, you don't have to eat it. So basically you want to just get rid of the food that is high in fat and is just junk, what I like to call junk food, which is going to be anything made with refined sugars, flour, pastries, baked goods. And it's really hard to go to the grocery store and see all these wonderful things in front of you and not buy it. So don't go to the grocery store hungry. Eat a meal before you go to the grocery store. You're going to be like, ooh, that looks good. Ooh, I'm going to get some Oreos. Ooh, I'm going to get some fried chicken. Ooh, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, I know when I go to the grocery store, I also spend more money. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't spend that much money last week, and I thought I got most of the same things that I needed. So you want to just make sure it's not in your kitchen, not in your, you know, in your pantry or your refrigerator, and don't go to the grocery store hungry. Those are two things you can start doing to change your habits. So, and then another thing is, you know, I know you want to keep the kids happy and have snacks for them. You have to understand you have to lead by example. And when the kids are hungry, have nutritious foods ready for them, something that they can snack on. And I know it's really hard to change habits, and they're not going to happen overnight. But the important thing is starting to change them now. You know, I have a 15-year-old son who eats very healthy, and I know when he goes to his father's every other weekend, he comes back and he's like, man, I got a tummy ache, Mom. We had fast food or whatever. And his dad likes to cook as well, so he does get home-cooked meals. Don't get it twisted or anything. But at the same time, his dad also likes to get what's fast and convenient and feed him on the go. So
That sounds like me. what do you do when you have separate households like that? I have my daughter, we have separate households. And for her, like you said, you have an older child. But I do the same thing. Men, we're kind of lazy. I will take her to McDonald's, pick her up something that's easy because sometimes I just don't want to cook. What do you do in situations like that when you're maintaining a strict diet? Like she has a strict sleep time. Well, she doesn't get that when she's with me. She go to bed whenever she fall out. How do you maintain that when you have separate households?
Go to the grocery store. There's a lot of grocery stores. I don't know if they're everywhere, but there's always food that's ready to go. Find something that's a little more it's not as convenient, but at the same time, you can walk in. They have hot-cooked meals. You can pick out a meat, a vegetable, a starch, and take it home. And, I mean, that's going to be another way to change your habits, too. And, but, I mean, obviously the drive-thru is going to be the most convenient. But at the same time. It's just making a conscious effort to do these things. And that's what I want our listeners to take away from this. I want them to know that you have alternatives, that I know that there's an easy way out, but you also have to plan ahead, you have to prepare, and you have to organize. And so, Thomas, what I would say to you is, okay, well, you know you're going to have your daughter. Why don't you stop by to the grocery store on the way home and grab something, and if you don't cook, grab something that's already made. Or I even say get the microwave-ready meals. I mean, I would rather have that for my kids than McDonald's.
So some of those are pretty good, the microwave-ready meals?
Yes, there are some that are pretty good. There really are, and that's where the nutrition label comes in. You have to start comparing what has what. And I know right now everybody really doesn't care how much fat is in it or how many calories, but I want them to start caring, because you have to start caring about your body and what you're putting in it, you know, because when you're putting all those high-fat foods, high-starch foods, if you're flirting with diabetes or you're on medication, my goal is to teach you how to live a healthier lifestyle so that you're getting away from all that. And 10, 15, 20 years down the line, you are living a healthier lifestyle. And even if you take one little thing away from tonight, like eat more vegetables, eat more fresh fruit. You know, if you haven't picked up an apple in a year, go buy some apples and snack on an apple when you feel a little hungry. Little things like that, just starting to pick up new habits and starting to reduce the portion sizes. You know, I want the listeners to think about overeating. When they sit down at their very next meal after tonight, look at their plate. Let me give you a quick little fact. In the 1960s, the household plate was 9 inches in diameter. Today it's 13 inches. Okay, and
wow.
The trend was that people are gaining weight from 40, 50 years ago to today with the same trend. It went from 9 inches, 11 inches to 13 inches. So now you tell me, are people putting more food on their plate? I guarantee you they are. And what did your mama used to tell you? You better not get up from that table unless you eat all your food.
Yes.
And I want parents, if you're going to tell your kids to do that, put less food on their plate. And you know what? Wait about 20 minutes. And I know, and you know what? We're all in a social environment. When we're eating with family, you can sit there, finish your plate, talk for a little while, and then maybe 10, 15 minutes later, you might say, you know what? I don't think I need seconds.
Well, Juliana, you and I are Hispanic, and it's very difficult for us to have a small plate of food.
I understand that.
Whenever they cook, there's a huge plate of food. And I will probably start with a big bed of rice, and then, but hold on a second. We have a caller that wants to talk to you and has a question for you. Let me see. I think the caller is out of Florida. Caller 813. Did you have a question for Juliana?
Yes, I did.
Go ahead, ask a question.
Hi. I'm so glad that you're back on. I enjoyed having you. I like listening to what you have to say, and I missed you during your break. My question is, right now, I was so bad over the holidays, and I measured myself like 2-3 weeks ago, and I have like maybe close about an inch of extra excess around the waist area that I've been trying to get rid of. So I'm on PX90, and I go to the gym like 3 times a week. But looking at the schedule of meals, which is 5 meals a day, and I'm supposed to eat about 550 calories per meal, I'm not a big eater. I don't eat big meals. I'm not hungry a lot. What does someone do when you need to eat that many calories per meal, but you're just not hungry? I just don't get it. So, like, I can go on 2 meals a day.
Ooh. 2 meals. I'm telling you that I'm not enough. You're probably eating. I'm just assuming here. Are you eating 2 big meals a day?
Like, for example, before I started the PX90, my 2 meals would be like for breakfast. I would have a protein shake. I'd have oatmeal that had dates, raisins, and walnuts in it, and then I'd have like a piece of fruit. Then I wouldn't eat again until probably that's in the morning on my way to work. So that's before work. So it's probably about 7-ish. Then I wouldn't eat again till about 3. During that in between it, I would be drinking Crystal Light crackers or whatever throughout the day. But I eat again at 3. And 3 o'clock, I would have like turkey bacon avocado sandwich and summer salad, and then that's it. And then at night, I wouldn't eat anything because I'm still full off of a huge salad and a sandwich. So I'd have like a Crystal Light and something else, and I go to bed. I'm done. But I'm full, though, so why should I eat if I'm already full? That's the thing I've never grasped.
Well, you want to
say I'm eating calories.
If you're not hungry, then you shouldn't eat. So that's good that you're listening to your body. You have a very large breakfast. I see. How much oatmeal is that?
I'm a big label reader. I read a lot of labels. So it tells me one cup is okay, but I try and keep it under that just because I'm adding to that the protein shake, and then I'm getting my fruits and nuts in my oatmeal. Or sometime I'll have flaxseed in my oatmeal, so that gives me that extra protein that I need to go along with oatmeal. And oatmeal sits heavily on my stomach. That's why I can go with water or Crystal Light until 3 o'clock because I'm not hungry.
So that makes sense. Now, let me ask you about your protein shake. Are there carbs in your protein shake as well?
Yes, there are carbs in my protein shake. There's only a small amount. I think when I was reading the label before, I just switched over to a new one, it has maybe, I think, 3%, and it's based off of a cup just plain. But then I also will add, like, some days I'll have a berry protein shake where I'm adding frozen berries to it, or sometimes I'll add, like, a fresh fruit, like a banana or something to it.
I see. Okay. Well, you're definitely having a breakfast that is keeping you satiated for a long time, which is cool. So then your lunch is a late lunch. And then it shows me that your sandwich, just depending on how big your sandwich is, and you said you're having a salad as well.
Correct. Okay. It's a half a sandwich. It might be a half a Subway is a 6-inch, so it's half of that, so 3 inches. I eat it on wheat or I eat it on rye. It's turkey, avocado, no dressing, no condiments, a little bit of lettuce, and that's it. Sometimes I'll eat cheese on it, sometimes I don't.
Okay, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to half your breakfast, meaning drink half the protein shake, eat half the oatmeal, and then 3 hours later, I want to know if you're hungry or not. And if you are, finish your breakfast. Then that'll be one meal in two sittings, which is what you want to do. Because you might be eating much, because a cup of oatmeal is a lot of food. And if you actually eat just under, just make your full cup. Well, once you measure it out, make the full cup. Eat half in the morning with half the shake, and then 3 hours later, I guess 10 o'clock, and then you can eat your lunch after that. And then I want you to you said it's just half a sandwich, and I want because what's going to happen is, you're revving up your metabolism. You're putting smaller portions out there. So if you're not hungry 3 hours later, I want to know also. Because then we could just be talking about something wrong with your metabolism. Everybody's different. But
okay.
I really want so do me a big favor. Facebook me and let me know how you do this. Okay? And I didn't get your name. What's your name?
It's Tiffany.
Tiffany. Okay. Friend me, Facebook me, and I'll help you from there. Because I'm interested to see if it changes anything. And I'm going to give you some other ideas on what you can eat for breakfast and snacks in between, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Olivia.
Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
Oh, well, ladies, I enjoyed that. That is definitely one of the questions I would have wanted to ask you, too, and make sure that they have the address where they can, if they want to add you. If not that, if they want to send you a direct message, they can send it to fitness@yourworldmyviews.com. But that is a great question that she's asking. That I learned from being a personal trainer, that's a bad thing, having two meals a day. Correct? Well, in your circles, is that the same thing? Just two meals a day, just a big meal and a big meal.
That's bad. It didn't sound like they were too big. They were too big, but at the same time, the bread probably made her full. But if she broke it up, the portion size is even smaller because she probably doesn't need that many calories. I didn't want to ask her anything personal, like her weight or anything, because then I could have had a better idea of how much she probably needs to be eating. But at the same time, she could probably break both of those meals up into two meals apiece and still be eating four times a day, or just half those portion sizes and then change what she eats 3 hours later. She didn't have to eat those two same things, one after the other. So that's why I wanted her to message me so that I can help her with that.
Okay. Well, and ladies, don't be afraid, and guys too, don't be afraid to contact Juliana to give her your information. I'm pretty sure she'll be very willing to, as she told Tiffany, to set you down and give you some ideas of the best ways to, one, how to go about finding the calories. Because, as you said, most of the time people don't pay attention to what they're eating. They don't label read, and I think that'd be a great topic for you to get on here one time and tell them just about the idea of paying attention to that, becoming cognizant of everything you eat. I know I got to a point where literally almost everything I ate, I knew what it was and what it would take to get rid of it.
I'm the same way. I can tell you exactly if you tell me you're eating 4 to 6 ounces of fish, I'm telling you you're eating about 20 to 25 grams of protein. I can tell you how many carbs are in a cup of oatmeal. So I'm pretty much the same way. And it's good to be like that. You know, my sister will look at me like, you're too much into the numbers of the food. But at the same time, I feel like I'm healthy and I eat well because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to weigh, you know, okay, what is this? If I eat this versus this, which one's healthier for me? I used to go to a restaurant, Thomas, and I used to try and find the best tasting thing on the menu. That was about 7 years ago. Today, I try to find the healthiest thing on the menu. Okay, how backwards is that?
That's perfect, though. I mean, and the fact that if you want to look at it anyway, if you notice the people with the best financial situation are the people who, when they write a check, they write it down in the checkbook ledger. When they use their card, they make sure that it's written down in the checkbook ledger. They keep receipts. They're in the best financial situations. It's the same thing with your body and with what you put in it and how your body looks and how it reacts to what you put in it. It's the people who pay attention to what their body uses. Okay.
So,
well, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it was a great segment. I definitely enjoyed the segment and wanted to tell people to make sure to add you as a friend, to add your fan page, and to make sure if they want to know any information about you that they can contact you directly at fitness@yourworldmyviews.com. And you can go ahead and wrap it up as we're coming up on a hard break right now.
Okay, well, I just want to thank the listeners for tuning in today. And just remember, you want to start changing your habits. You want to make sure that you're eating a little bit less, smaller portion sizes. Remember to start, you know, teaching your kids the healthier ways of life, and just so that they have a better future for themselves health-wise. And go ahead and add me, Juliana G, and make sure you become a fan of Feisty Fitness, and I look forward to next week's segment.
Well, good deal. Well, this was the Health and Body Sculpting segment. Miss Juliana G, thank you for joining us. This is Your World, My Views, and we're going to get into the topic. We're going to come up with the news segment and then the topic, which is pride or racism. We will be right back in just a couple of minutes.
I have a structured settlement, and I need cash now.
Call J.D. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
Long-term payments, but you need cash now.
Call J.D. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
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 It's your money. Use it when you need it.
Call J.D. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
Looks like you got a fake bundle from the phone company.
I thought AT&T was giving me a good deal. Satellite, DSL, phone.
Three wrongs don't make a right. Switch to Comcast. Get a real triple play. I got your back, John.
Don't be fooled by AT&T's fake bundle. Get crystal clear HD, faster internet, and unlimited calling with Comcast.
Hold me. call your wrecker. Oh, shoot. I got no phone. Because I'm a pothole. So... Okay, bye!
Accidents are bad. But Geico's good with emergency road service.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Your World, My Views. And we just got through with our health and wellness segment. And now we're going to get back into the news. Miss Renee, are you there?
I am here.
Miss Quiet, you didn't have nothing to say?
I didn't.
Quit not having nothing to say then. That ain't cool. Since you didn't have nothing to say, I know it's going to be time for you to say something right now, especially when we get into the news with your host, Thomas Sotomayor. All right, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news, and I like you reading the news. So do you have any news to talk about before I dominate?
I do, but you can go ahead.
Go ahead. I don't like being having it passed off to me. It's like the Family Feud. We'll let them go first. Well, how about this?
Mm-hmm.
There is Jumanji on the Metro Highway grid where Atlanta traffic got stopped yet again by an animal on the road.
Jumanji.
Yeah, I came up with that on my own. The bison on I-20 Friday and a zebra who ran to freedom stalled on the downtown connector. They were not the first to travel on this four-leg drive. The animals have a long history of trying the Atlanta highway system, and like more regular users, find it's still gridlocked. Like us, they often take to the asphalt only in desperation, as a result of some confounding mistake from the more recent events to the historical. Here's a brief timeline drawn from the accounts in the AJC as I saw them. A bison fell out of a truck on I-20. That's 1 week after the zebra escaped from the circus and made it onto the downtown connector where he was caught during the rush hour. Now, this is natural since he was less mobile there than in the enclosed pen that he was when he left the Ringling Brothers. That was at Phillips Arena. Now, there was an angry pig that got loose on I-75 a little while ago. There were two llamas that got loose on 285. There's been cows. There were four bovine cows that fell out of the thing. I think it was like 2002. Then there were two rabbits and a bear named Oscar that got loose on I-25. Oh. What's going on? And how are these animals not getting killed? Really? If a nigga run across the road, he gonna get lit up.
You're gonna come
these
back.
Animals, they make it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay?
How are you
am I talking to myself?
No, I'm just trying to figure out how you're going to compare a man to a buffalo.
Right, because a man can outrun a buffalo, but that buffalo make it. A man is a man. See, that's the problem with folks. I ain't going to say what kind of folks, because some of them kind of folks is listening. But that's the problem with some of these folks, where they'll hit a man in a minute and get 24 days in jail. They will make sure they don't hit a bison. I didn't even know they still existed.
Yeah, they make the best burgers. Not that I eat them anymore, but
stop it. Wait a minute. They do. I seen them on TV about them bison burgers.
They are very good. Better than cows.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm going to order me some because you have to order. You can't get them at the grocery store. Like, I can't walk up in Kroger or Publix. Those of you who listen out on the West Coast can't go walk up in a Safeway and just get bison burgers, can you?
Now, I had it at an Indian powwow, so I don't know.
Wait a minute. You said an Indian powwow?
My grandfather was Native American, so I went to the powwow on Cape Cod, and that's where I had buffalo burgers.
My granddad on my mama's side was Native American.
Okay.
My mama's Native American. I'm Native American. I'm just saying. He was, I don't like that word, Native. But he's not. He was born here, too. Anyway, I don't see how these animals keep surviving. White people do these animals like y'all do black folks when they cross the road. Black folks don't make it when they cross the road. It could be a red light on 285, and y'all will run it to hit that Negro running across there. Hit that zebra. White people will kill 20 other people on the road to save that zebra. I don't get it. They say, you know, it's a 20-car pileup in the news with your host, Thomas Sotomayor. Thank you, everyone. What else I got that's going on in the news? Oh. This will interest you. There was a motorist that was shot and killed in southeast Atlanta. Homicide detectives were investigating the death of a man who was shot inside of his car in southeast Atlanta. The shooting happened about 5 a.m. this morning near the intersection of McWilliams and Browns Mill Road in southeast Atlanta. It appears the victim was westbound on McWilliams Road when a suspect pulled alongside, produced a handgun without provocation, and shot at him 4 to 5 times. After shooting the victim, the Chrysler Crossfire that the victim was driving in just rolled alongside a house and hit it, causing minor damage. The victim, who the officer said appeared to be in his late 20s, early 30s, was alone in the car. Now, they haven't determined a motive and haven't released any names. The reason I read this is because we've all been in the car. Mm-hmm. Well, there's one more thing. They said they believe that the victim might have been at a nightclub in DeKalb County before the shooting.
Oh.
Now, yeah, I just want to talk about this because here's my issue with people. There's a dude named Kevin Durant who used to play, Darren Williams. I got it wrong. Sorry, Kevin. Darren Williams, who used to play for the Denver Broncos. He was shot leaving a club in Denver, shot and killed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been said now that Brandon Marshall, who plays for the Denver Broncos, who's an a-hole and always is saying something to piss people off, he's the reason that boy got shot, because he was disrespecting, quote-unquote, the boy in the club. The young man, Collier, who plays for Jacksonville, is paralyzed from the waist, from the chest down because, again, disrespecting somebody at the club. Tupac, they say he was killed, disrespecting Orlando Anderson.
Uh-huh.
But this word disrespect, black people take disrespect too far.
Yeah.
You disrespect us on Facebook, we going to come see you at the club.
I mean, but stepping on somebody's toe is classified as disrespect. I mean, just because you just got brand new white sneakers.
Yeah. And you are correct, and that's the problem. I said we take it too far. And it's not, if you're that real, my thing is, if you're that real and you're mad at somebody, pick up your fist and fight them. But see, they won't do that because when you pick up your fist and fight them, you might lose. So they think going to their car, getting a gun, and not simmering down, which is, I don't understand. I kind of blame your friends. Your friends should be able to simmer you down because you're not going to shoot somebody if all your friends are saying don't shoot somebody. If you got there rolling with them clowns that's telling you, man, I don't see how you let them do that to you. So you go out and you shoot a man at 5 in the morning, pull up beside him like this is the Wild Wild West because he disrespected you at a club. And I hope they find everybody in the car and they arrest them and they charge them all, not just the driver, but everyone in the car with the crime. Seriously, we got to stop this in the black community, this idea of disrespect. It's stupid. It's crazy. You don't respect yourself when you put yourself in positions like that where you're going to go out and do something like that and then over something silly. But anyway, in the news with your host, Renee Bishop. Renee, what do you have? I'm going to let you read the news because I got something good, but I'm going to read this after you read this. I'm going to trump your news.
Dang, okay. Well, I won't talk about my kind of people, single black women. We got beaten up for the past few weeks. But this one is actually about our justice system that we talked about on Wednesday night. Bearnie Peguero, wow, a fake rape victim, gets up to 3 years for sending an innocent man to prison. Out of
wow.
New York. Yeah.
Wait a minute, how long was, well, oh, I'll let you read it, because first thing I want to know is how long was the man in prison?
Okay, well, I'll tell you. He was, well, let me read it. Okay. Bearnie Peguero, 27, here goes pleaded again, pleaded guilty in December to perjury, admitting she made up the September 2005 incident that unjustly put construction worker William McCaffrey in jail and prison for nearly 4 years.
Damn.
I know. A judge overturned his rape conviction in December, with new DNA evidence also playing a role. Now, the lady said, I quit unharmed after she changed her mind. But jurors spurned his account after hearing from Peguero, among other witnesses. She went on to speak at his sentencing hearing, saying, justice has finally been served. He was sentenced, however, to 20 years in prison. No one else was convicted. So he spent 4 years of his life at 27 years old in prison and was actually sentenced to 20. The story goes on to say that she has an infant and a 7-year-old son, and she admitted that she knew, admitting her lie, knowing it could mean prison time for her, but her lawyer pushed her to get probation instead. The one of the people who works as a member of the Exoneration Initiative, a New York-based group that provides free legal help challenging convictions, said, this case gives you a window into false testimony and makes clear that people can give detailed accounts of events that are untrue. That's so messed up.
That is crazy. That is really messed up where you could we talked about this before, about this rape. It's a touchy subject with me because every time you think about it, to me, it's either that, and you're 1,000% the baby's mine. Come out, the baby's not mine.
Yeah.
They don't boo her.
But that's Maury, though. Maury is like Jerry Springer. I think it's, staged, but I do certainly understand what you say. I think that all of the support is on the wrong side.
Women get the support whenever something happens. They act like women don't cheat. Women still act like to this day that they don't cheat. And it gets on my nerves that only men cheat. And I know a friend of my homeboys who done got cheated on. But I'm really sick of the fact that women sit up there and say, I ain't never cheated on a man. Everyone I talk to, I ain't never cheated on nobody. Shut up. Somebody done cheated on somebody unless they all dating the same woman that keep cheating. But this is crazy. So what made her finally come out to say that, I did it?
Well, let's see. The DA said he doesn't know the reason why, but she wanted to do this. He said urging a 2 to 6 year sentence. I think it really was just her conscience. She didn't, of course, it took 4 years for that sucker to kick in, but she didn't want to live knowing that she had done wrong. She had told somebody, fabricated this whole thing. And she said still after she was handcuffed and waiting transportation to jail, she told, the lawyer, her defense lawyer, that she
was trying to get on College Club.
Oh, wow.
In the news.
Oh,
hell, it's me. No, I'm just saying, you just done lost life. Life just done been taken away. Oh, you like this news. Do you like Whitney Houston?
She's hit or miss right about now.
I just asked you if you like Whitney Houston. That's all I asked.
Okay. I'll say yes.
Wow. Well, like, let's make it difficult. Well, if you like Whitney Houston, apparently, Australia doesn't. Because she bombed in Australia, and here's a report. Whitney Houston's Nothing But Love tour limped into Brisbane, Australia this week. She didn't exactly go over Down Under. Her strange performance is being criticized in a slew of reviews like the one I'm reading, which said she appeared disoriented and failed to properly name some of her background band members. And
what?
She introduced them to the audience. Yeah, she's like, this Billy and this nigga named Mike. She don't know. And she done got on Oprah. And this is what bothered me. She got on Oprah and literally made it seem like she was a nice girl that was turned bad by Bobby Brown, which is a lie.
I remember that.
She from Boston. This is a lie. Now, she's from Jersey, right? She's a Jersey girl.
I was about to say, yes.
She's a Jersey girl. I'm just saying, she's still a liar, so I figured she was from Boston since she lied so much. That being said, there was somebody they asked in the crowd, one of the correspondents, and he said she couldn't entertain a dead rat. It says she sounded winded and hoarse and took several breaks. And at one point, her brother, background singer Gary Houston, and some of the other backing vocalists took over while Whitney Houston rested. The man who the manager of the show that helped promote the show said that he thought Australians would embrace Whitney Houston for the fact that she's out there giving it a go and giving everything she had. Whitney is on that butter. Whitney is back on the butter. Whitney is back on the butter.
Did you see her when she performed on Good Morning America last year sometime, whenever this album came out?
Was she on the butter?
I don't know about the butter, but she was off key. She did something that was a little bit strange. I don't really remember, but I'm just wondering, do you think it's time for her to hang up her mic?
Or to hang up the brother? I'm just saying, you can't do them both. Anybody tell you can't do them both. You can't do crack and go to work. They don't work like that. You can be a functional alcoholic to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a functional person who smokes cigarettes all the time.
Yeah.
You might even be a functional cokehead for a minute. You will never be a functional crack addict. I've never seen the dude say he owns crack, but he is running a Fortune 500 company.
Oh, well, that's true.
Because we did have a crackhead, let me not claim that. D.C. had a crackhead mayor.
Oh, Barry.
Marion Barry. And this again lets you know why white folks have a hard time dealing with us as black people. After he got caught with crack, what happened? He got voted in for two more terms. Black people, we got to do better. We can't have R. Kelly get caught up with some little kids and then give him the Image Award 3 weeks later after this news has been released. There's something wrong with us. Seriously, you can't do this, what you're doing. You can't get on stage and say you'd like to thank God after you done dropped 97 MF bombs on your record.
Now, you better preach on that one. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, I'm really getting sick of black folks. We just think because we throw up God, it makes us Christian. All we got to do is know how to say God and Jesus. We good. You got to do nothing. Just keep saying it and throwing it up. You good. Let me get off this before somebody call me and cuss me out right now. Or I'll be driving down I-285 and somebody pull up beside me and I'd be... in the news. I ain't claiming it either, but these people are mad at me.
They'll get away.
Anyway, let me talk about your boy Tiger. And every time I say I'm not going to talk about Tiger, Tiger comes right back up growling.
You love
Gatorade
Tiger.
Has, y'all know I do. Tiger reminds me of me. Gatorade has dropped its sponsorship of Tiger Woods today. PepsiCo, who owns Gatorade, said Friday that it has ended its business relationship with Tiger Woods. We no longer see a role for Tiger Woods in our marketing efforts, a Gatorade spokesman said. He added the company's partnership with Tiger Woods Foundation will continue. PepsiCo's Gatorade is the third major brand to drop its sponsorship with Woods. The announcement comes after months of allegations of extramarital scandal, which has played out in the public eye. On November 25th, the National Enquirer reported that Tiger Woods had been dating New York nightclub hostess Rachel Yucatel, and he'd been married to Elin, and the couple has two children. And then days after that, the Enquirer was published. Woods pulled out of his driveway, and next thing you know, he somehow ran into a tree and had scars on his face, but his wife never touched him. As he said, she was a hero, him surrounded by all these white people who can't stand him. That's what I don't understand about Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
He's surrounded by none but white people who don't like him. I mean, they killing him in the press. You know the only people got his back is black folks?
Yeah, well, he's not coming over here.
Not at all. It reminds you of O.J. The only people that had O.J. back was black folks. The only people that had Michael Jackson's back was black folks. Soon as they got out of trouble or got back to where they wanted to be, where did they turn back to? The people who couldn't stand them in the first place and who would try their best to get them back where they couldn't get them the first time.
That's true.
It's sad. We couldn't get you in jail the first time, but you keep hanging around us like O.J., we will get you back in jail. Would they go to jail?
Really going for Gatorade anyway. I mean, I hate Gatorade.
Yeah.
It's nasty, but
no, Gatorade is not nasty. You just don't work out.
Well, no, you didn't.
You don't. If you work out, anything you drink is good once you work out. If you do anything to get you thirsty, drinking something will make you. You could pee in a bottle and make it cold enough. It will taste great.
Well, I will take your
You can't
word.
Sit around and drink Gatorade when you just chilling at the house looking at TV. That ain't good. You talking about this is horrible. You got it with a steak dinner. That's not what Gatorade is for. I had a glass of Gatorade with my steak. It was horrible. Oh, my goodness.
I'm not studying you.
I can't believe you just said that. You better be glad we're coming up on this hard break. We're about to go to a break right now. Thank you guys for joining us. We're going to be talking about pride versus racism versus drinking Gatorade while eating a steak dinner. This is Your World, My Views. We'll see you in a couple of minutes. Renee, you was wrong. Damn it, you's wrong.
Hello, loyal following. Simon Sotomayor here, and I'd like to welcome you to come join myself and the rest of the Your World, My Views hosts at the downtown Atlanta Mellow Mushroom at 400 West Peachtree Street this Monday and every Monday night, where we will be having happy hour, festivities, games, and prizes, including spades, trivia, dominoes, and more. The broadcast will start live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but all the festivities will start at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call the info line at 678-224-5157 for more information. That's right, 678-224-5157. And don't forget, sign up for the cruise, where we'll be heading out this December 10th to December 13th from Miami, and we'll be visiting Coco Bay and Nassau. Your World, My Views, Tommy Sotomayor, doing it big. Sign up for it big. Check us out. We run this town.
Check us out on the web at www.yourworldmyviews.com and check under the events tab to sign up for the cruise and more. Again, www.yourworldmyviews.com.
The $5 box, it rocks, it rocks. It rocks for a meal with lots and lots. It rocks for a jock, it rocks for a fox. It rocks blocking shots on guys with dreadlocks.
What comes in this box that rocks?
A cheesy gordita, crunch to much.
We are the
Cream Burger Kids of Cream. A crunchy taco and cinnamon twist?
Both on the list. And wait, let me think. An ice cold drink. That is lots of lots in just one box. It is only $5, and that's why it rocks.
Subway, home of the famous $5 footlong, like our fresh toasted black forest ham with cheese and our newest $5 footlong, the fresh delicious chicken pizziola. $5 footlongs, all day, every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Your World, My Views. And today we're going to be talking about pride versus racism. And what do you mean by a veggie steak? Isn't that an oxymoron? You moron.
It's just a vegetarian version of steak.
Version?
Version. Not a virgin.
Oh. Well, anyway, quit calling something something if it ain't that something. It ain't steak. How you gonna call it a veggie steak? A veggie square or something it need to be called.
Oh.
Thank you guys for joining us tonight on a Friday night. It's too cold in Atlanta to be going to the club, but if you're going to the club, if you're going to any place, check out my people down there on Lucky Street. My place, Charm, used to be formerly known as Lucky's Lounge. Go check it out. Or you can go check my cousin down there at Onyx. Go to the door and tell Pulu, your boy, TJ Sotomayor sent you. You won't get nothing off. He'll just know who sent you. You go down there and tell him, be like, Thomas sent me. He's like, and
it's like black folks.
Yeah, he might charge you more. Thomas sent you 25. Now, oh, pride versus racism, that's a touchy one. A lot of people was asking me, they were like, how are you going to address pride versus racism? Mm-hmm. Now, when you saw it, or when you, well, first off, I want you to claim this, baby, since we on Maury.
I need a DNA test. No, it was my
This is your baby. This is your brainchild. So why don't you tell people before I go into how I might have screwed it up, what your thoughts were? Because I'm pretty sure I did. You know, I take it and run it into the ground.
Well, I mean, basically, it all stemmed from thinking about the Confederate flag originally, and then it expounded from there. But, you know, a lot of Northerners and black people, we view typically the Confederate flag as a symbol of racism, where the people who wave the Confederate flag or who wear it, they typically view it as a sign of pride. So I'd like to know, with many different instances that included, where do we draw the line, or is there one, or can we observe what the differences are? What is pride? What is racism? Are they synonymous, or are they distinctly different?
Well, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think they're distinctly different. I think that sometimes they can be habitual line steppers, too. I did some research on the
habitual line steppers?
No. on the Confederate flag and really about white pride. And I'm going to share with you some of the quotes that I found in a forum that I thought were interesting because they posted them under the guise of pride. And I read them with disturbance.
Read them.
Well, one, the question was posted from a white person, and he wanted to know. Now, before I continue, I will say that the website is White Pride Worldwide. That's the name of their
yeah.
Name. But the
yay, yay.
And this is
White Pride.
Oh my god. This is interesting because now the first thing that caught my eye is he says, and this is I guess a North California teen, because his name is NorCal Teen. I'm white, and as far as I know, from tracing my roots back, that's all I am. I am proud of that. I am proud of that fact. And believe that that isn't a bad thing. And first I'm thinking, how are you all white? Really? So.
Easy.
Okay. You.
I just don't
that.
Like answering stuff. I just like saying easy and keep going.
Oh,
but
okay.
I just turn my head. I say easy and fold my arms and.
Oh. So, excuse me. He said, my question, though, is why does pride in race has to mean hatred towards other races at a very general level? I have met hundreds of, quote, colored people, and most of them have been as decent as any of the whites I have known. Oh, I just love the token good black or colored people. He goes on.
He said most of them. He said most of them.
Yeah, he did, but you hold on to your britches, as they say, because you're in for a treat. He said, now, I'm not a racist. To me, pride in being white means that I'm proud of my family and of accomplishments my family has made. I don't take credit for what other whites have done because I didn't have a hand in that. So, he says, back to my question, if you are all proud of being white, why does that make you angry at other races? He wants to know people's take on mixed marriage, immigration, and economics. A person responded, and I just thought this was interesting. Well, since we're not into racial supremacy or hatred, but simply want to preserve the values and traditions of the greatest culture this planet has ever seen, I don't know what to tell you. He goes on to say, I've met several thousand Negroes over my 5 decades, and I'd say about 5% were decent folks. The rest were 5%. The
damn.
Rest, I know, were uncivilized savages. That disturbed me. Because keep in mind, he's not into racial supremacy or hatred. They're just pride, you know, proud of being white. What are your thoughts on that, first of all?
Well, first of all, if I was white, I'd be pretty proud, too.
I know that's right.
It ain't nothing better. I was told when I was little, if it ain't white, it ain't right. So we're going to base the whole rest of the conversation on that premise. but no, if he's honestly saying, which, and he's met a group of guys, like, you ever seen the movie Malcolm X?
Yes.
You remember when the mama told him that she's never met a good white person?
Yeah.
And Malcolm, he stopped for a second when the man was talking to him in jail and asked him to think of some good white people. And everybody that he was in his life had mistreated him. Every white person had mistreated him.
Okay.
So maybe, honestly, in this person's life, because if they had minimal contact with black people,
right?
If their thoughts of black people were, damn it, every time I hang around one of them, I see them robbing, they trying to fight me, they're saying something negative, he could be honestly saying from what he saw, that's all he knows.
Yeah. You know, you have validity in what you say. And again, you know, we have to deal with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And even with your article and other things that we've touched on as far as the image of the black woman, you don't have a good image of the black woman typically that people portray or that people refer to. They have the finger wagging, neck wagging, you know, all of that, you know, a poor and a negative image of black women. And again, we have that displayed in the media. You don't really.
But let me ask you, I want to stop you right there. There's a problem. Why is it that black women don't dispel this image? When black men are portrayed as he thugging, he hard, you don't want to touch him, he got a long penis, we don't ever say that's wrong.
Well, the long penis is accurate in most cases. Now, there's
I don't know about that. I haven't heard a lot of black women say that is far from true.
Oh.
There's a lot of small penis men out there, unless you done seen a whole bunch of penises.
Well, I'm no connoisseur now. Let's not get explicit, but anyway.
I'm about to say, you got to tell on yourself, because you just said most of them. Now, if your sample percentage is 0.000000000000013, then you can't say most of them, because then what you're doing is what the white guy doing, right?
Right.
If you can say most black people penis is big, why can't he say most black people are savage, honestly?
Right. I mean, you're right. You're right.
I usually am. That's why I'm the host.
why don't the black women dispel the image or the stereotype by not being that way?
Yes, no, not being that way, just saying something. Stop taking the role where you are the secretary that never does work.
Mm-hmm.
Or get smart with everybody that come in.
Mm-hmm.
Stop doing roles when Tyler Perry is the one who producing the film where it's still black folks doing some kind of ghetto activity.
Right. You know, I would love for us in future months and weeks to talk about how we can kind of reclaim or at least revamp our image, because a lot has to be done. We have to work on the men, we have to work on the women, and then when we have whole men and whole women, then we can have whole children. Otherwise, we're just going to perpetuate and it's just going to get worse. But I maybe the person did have limited, in his 5 decades of living, limited interaction with Negroes, as he said. Maybe, you know, that's true. I don't know. It still, nonetheless, it disturbs me.
I'm going to take his word for it. I mean, white people really have no reason to lie. If they said it, pretty much what happened. I'm gonna blame. it reminds me of my thought of the day, and my thought of the day was that the longer that you deny who you are, the longer that you will remain who you are. The first step of fixing any problem is to first be able to recognize the ones that exist.
Mm-hmm.
If they are saying that we, thank you. If they are saying that we do certain somethings.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't mind them calling us or saying that we do these things, Shouldn't we find that an issue? Shouldn't we find that a problem? Why do we revel in taking these roles? Why do we revel in these ideas of doing these things? I don't get it.
Well, that's true.
So that's
that
the first thing. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I think that we are very complex. We make everything complicated. We're accepting, as you said earlier, we accept Tiger, we accept OJ, we accept all these people, we accept white people, we accept everybody. Oh, come on over for dinner. But yet we're cruel to our own. We're not tolerant of each other, because if you step on my toes or if you slam the door in my face or whatever, then I'm going to shoot you. I don't know.
Yes, I'm coming to get you. No, but it's the same thing. It's like I was saying, like as far as like support. The way that, and that's why the pride versus racism, when you hear the white pride and the, here's my thing about the difference between, and I want to make sure we don't stray too far away from it, but television stations, shows. You have Friends, the TV show Friends. They didn't have a black person on that for a long time, but black people watched the show.
Right.
We watched it in record numbers. We enjoyed the show. I love that and Seinfeld. What a Negro in sight. I go 4 hours of TV watching. I ain't seen another nigga in 4 hours of TV. How you watch 4 damn hours of people who don't look like you? Seriously.
You're right. You are so right.
I get more Jewish culture from TV watching The Nanny and Seinfeld than I get any Negro culture at all. And so there's none of these shows got a Negro on it. So I watch The Nanny, Seinfeld, Friends, then The Office.
Yeah.
There might be one Negro show up anywhere.
Well,
so,
The Office, but yeah.
Yeah, that one dude, and they make him look like his eyes is already about to pop out his head, and his lip is hanging down to his chin.
Oh,
you mean to tell me these ain't subliminal messages? One thing I know white people are good at is subliminal messages. But it's just like when you look, when I watch Family Guy, the only black man on there, he's slow, listless, talking, and his wife always getting him told, and every word she speak, her head move. When
yeah.
she say, hey, how you doing? Her head and neck just move 6 times.
You're so right. You're so right.
And the thing is, since no one cares about the way you're being portrayed, then you have to go along with the portrayal until someone stands up and says, okay, this has got to stop. But you go back to the pride versus racism thing, and you have the guys with the flag, the Southern flag.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I used to believe the same thing. I'm of two minds with that. Because at first I used to be like, well, I understand that's their heritage. They should be able to talk about it. But the funny thing is, not too many people are very proud of losing. No, really. When the Indianapolis Colts went home after the Super Bowl, do you know how many people with that greet them? Six.
Really? Oh.
It was six whole people in the whole state of Indiana, in the city of Indianapolis, that came to greet them.
Drivers.
You know, and they probably didn't come to greet them. They probably were waiting on their plane. But then when you went to the Saints had a million people to visit them and all this stuff. They had to shut the streets down, and Mardi Gras was an extra week long. So people generally are not proud of the team that lost. But you're running around decades later proud of the team that lost. That's wild and weird, but I tried to understand because if you had grandparents and stuff who fought for a cause and they died, you don't want to just forget them and what they contributed. So I understood it until I talked to a Jewish friend of mine, and I was telling him that, and I thought I was giving a very good argument, and he said, "Well, I don't think we'd appreciate it if Germans walked around waving the swastika."
I know that's right.
Because they claimed that they had uncles and cousins who was in the SS that died. So they said, regardless, the symbol was of racism. Just because your family members were on the wrong side and the bad side don't mean that you should automatically have a right to celebrate it, because they still did something wrong. If you think about it, Charles Manson, your daddy. And he killed all these people. And you run around waving the Charles Manson flag in front of the people.
I don't think you'd live too long.
Yeah, so it's a bit. So once he said that to me, I said, well, that's where it goes from pride to what I was thinking of it, to I can see the racism involved in it. I can see how, no, it's racist, and you're still perpetuating the racism.
Right.
Your parents, whoever fought in that war, were racist. That's what they were.
Right.
They lost, and it should be they are losers. They are racist losers. So if you want to fly that flag, that's what you should put up. It should be one flag that's a racist loser. It was one dude who had a flag that said that had the American Eagle tearing through the Confederate flag, and on the bottom of it said, "You lost, get over it." And they're right. You're holding on to something that didn't work. That's like keeping your ring. It's like getting a divorce but keeping the ring.
I don't know.
Keep wearing
that.
you still wearing this ring? And they'd be like, well, you married? No, I ain't married. What, I mean, but you got on, you got on this ring, you know. So the Pride versus racism in that aspect,
mm-hmm.
I'm more on the line of that's racist. But let's go to this.
Mm-hmm.
Pride. They have a music awards and a black music awards.
Right.
Is that pride to have black music award, or is that racist to have black music award?
Well, I would think that that's an interesting question, because I would think that that would borderline, if not be racist, for the standpoint you're not going to have any white music. I mean, just like the whole issue with the steppers now.
Some white girls that won, yes, they did.
So now.
And the white girls only been stepping for a year.
And they won.
Yes, because it's you got to always, if you see white people stepping, you got to give them the award. It's just you got to give. No, but I'm being funny, but let me tell you this, and it goes back to what you said. Black people are too accepting.
Yeah.
It took them years just to give the first black male, what is that, the Academy Award for Best Actor? When they gave it to what's your boy's name?
Yeah.
Denzel, and they didn't give it to him for Malcolm X, which was a great movie.
Right.
He acted great in it. No, they gave it to him for being a thug.
Crappy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then they turn around and they gave your girl, who was the first black woman to win it, Halle Berry, they didn't give
right.
it to her for Losing Isaiah or any other movie where she acted great in.
Right.
They gave it to her for where she would uh-huh. bend over, look like she was getting screwed by Billy Bob Thornton as a hoe in Monsters Ball.
Right.
So it took them that long just to give us some. But look at how accepting we are then. We get to rapping. As soon as the Beastie Boys look like they can rap, they sold more than anybody else that ever sold.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
As soon as Eminem can sell something, we want to buy it. Oh, he's great. You don't think that's a problem?
It is.
But we'll have in the Black Music Awards, though, they'll have some white people giving awards out. Promise they will.
But they'll be giving awards out, but are they nominated for awards, though?
Well, I mean, no, but I mean, I'm just saying they have them still there. Like, whenever we do when we do the Hughleys, we got to have white neighbors.
Right.
When we have this show called True Jackson. True Jackson
right.
is on Nickelodeon, I think it is.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, it's a young black girl. They're having her own show, like the young white kids had a show. But what's the problem? She's surrounded by white people. Her boyfriend is a white boy.
Right.
So you mean to tell us you can't accept a whole black family around other black people?
But let me ask you, though, and this is going back a moment to the forum that I was reading, because now some of the issues that I'm going to bring up, and I would love for our listeners to certainly voice their opinion on too, these are issues that we, just as being in the United States, also have, even if we're, you know, Latino as you are and just regular old black as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other posts that they said was, you know, other than, you know, wanting to keep their heritage or lineage all white, they said as far as mixed marriage, because we talked about that a little bit, they said that's one of the worst crimes a white person can commit. Because
damn.
Once you, I know, that was pretty rough. But they said that once you do that, you have, you know, in your lineage, there's your people, your descendants will have ancestors now that they can't identify with. There's no, you know, distinction now. And then they had anger. They talked about anger at other races for abusing the system and the liberal government, which is run by whites and Jews. And they also talked about the immigration. They talked about the fact that our borders, we allow Mexicans to come in, and they're trying to take over this country by sheer numbers. These are their words.
Mm-hmm.
They said they can't beat us in battle, so they just sneak in here and outbreed us. The problem with Mexico is it's full of Mexicans. They said when they dominate our demographics, we'll be in Mexico, laws or no laws. Because somebody made a statement in response to the NorCal team's question about immigration. They said they would prefer that immigration be restricted to skilled, ethnically white people only.
Damn. I thought they were going to say skilled people. I would agree to that. We're going to answer a phone call right now because I want to get some people's opinion because we've talked about two things and wondered if they were racist or if they were prideful. And we brought up the flag situation and we brought up the people having the award ceremonies.
Right.
I want to talk to 860-840. You're on the air. 860-840, you are on the air.
Hey, my brother, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Just listening to the rap session that you guys are having. I like it. It's good.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, the two things that we discussed when we discussed, one, the situation of the Confederate flag, or if you say the Confederate flag, you have to compare it to the Nazi flag. Do you think those are prideful symbols for the ancestors of the people who fought in those battles, or do you think those are racist symbols?
They're a little of both. Here's a group of people who insist on representing themselves the way they think they should, and they intend to maintain it, while on the other hand, we haven't even designed a flag for ourselves. But we argue about those who have a flag. We must either do for ourselves and stand behind it or be quiet about it and get pushed around. For example, even the TV shows, if you're going to put a black family in a TV show, put a black family in a TV show. Don't mix the family and produce a goddamn good show. So as time goes along, let the record show that the show deserved to be watched by just about anyone. But we fall into this trap that society says that, well, Negroes can't do nothing good. And because we fall into that trap, we believe that the only way to get people to pay attention is by mixing the group. And if you're going to have a black award, make it be a black award, and by no means can the law say that you can't make it a black award, which means no matter which white person come along and sing black, if they're not black, they can't be a part of the black award. But black folks cannot stand up and defend that point. Therefore, even though they have a black award, don't be surprised if some white person walk in and say, hey, I want the Emmy. What are you going to do about it if they do that? Because black people will not defend their ground. Look at the stomping. The best way to do that dancing thing was, if you're going to say you're only going to allow black colleges to participate in this, then make it so. It's not a racial thing. It's protecting your own ancestral rhythm. There's no way a white man can give you your ancestral rhythm. Therefore, you cannot bring him into that dance group because he doesn't have nothing to do with your ancestral rhythm. And defend it by the law, with the law, in any way possible. But once you want to please society, then the doors swing both ways. For example, wasn't BET sold to some white guy? Here's a black man selling BET, and he was approached by a couple of business black men who offered him maximum amount of money, but yet who did he sell it to?
Wow.
And when Bill Cosby and his group tried to buy a football team, they offered more money than the person who bought the team, because the white man says, yeah, I know you offered me more money, but I'm going to keep it in the family. Why couldn't the black person do the same thing? Because they fall under the same system that says, hey, do what you must do so white people must judge you. Listen, the best example for all that we talk about is Muhammad Ali. He says he's the best. He got to the top and he's still at the top. It doesn't matter who come at him, he takes them out. That's what you got to do when it comes to rules and the games you want to play. If you say you are black, then stand up black. And let those who judge you wrongly fall along the wayside. And those who judge you rightly, stand up with you. That's how simple it is, my brother.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, I watch many people do the wrong things the wrong way. No. and the sister talk about mixing the gene. Listen, once you begin to mix your gene with those who are outside of your gene, what you create is what we now call a neutralized society. For example, Tiger Woods cannot stand up in public and say, my father, I'm black, cannot stand up in public and say, I'm Chinese, or whatever he is, because he's from two different seeds. If he say he's one, he offend the other. If he says the other, he offend this one. So you got to be careful what you do, because it come back and bite you in the ass.
Wow.
Be true to yourself.
Hey, brother, thank you for giving us a call, and keep on listening. You know what? Wow, that was a deep discussion, because he's 100% correct, and I'm wondering what you thought about that, because I have thought about that. I mean, on the Black Awards, when they give out for the best rapper, Eminem is up there for that award.
Right, right.
If you, and it's like he said, the one thing that I didn't understand about, okay, the Cosby Show, he would have white people in there. Of course, if this man's supposed to be a lawyer or a doctor, I guess if you want to make it sort of realistic, he'd have white people in there. But if you notice, his whole family, everything was black. But then it got to a point where black people started condemning Bill Cosby and saying that's not a true picture of black society. We're the only race of people who would do that.
We are. And I, you know, just like a coworker of mine who has issue with, I think she has an issue with being black. I think she's not comfortable with it. And I think that that's the same thing for the people who were the naysayers or the critics. They have an unease about that. And just like he said, either you're going to have the people who are going to stand up with you, or you're going to have the people that are going to fall by the wayside. And
yep.
They're going to have the people that fall by the wayside oftentimes are going to be the people who are scared. Those are the people who are thinking the same thing you're saying, but they're too scared to say anything or do something about it.
Which reminds me of my page. I say some stuff that people are thinking.
Yeah.
But because I say it, it's wild. We're going to answer the phone, 813-446. You're on the air.
Hi, everybody. Hey. The caller that just called in, he had a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Renee. It goes back to being able to stand up and not being afraid, and that's something black people have not learned to do. It's like you can only do something if you have followers. Why you always have to be a follower? Stand up and be a leader. You don't know how many people follow you if you're doing something that makes sense. That's the part that people don't get. You being an asshole, nobody want to follow you being an asshole. Well, I could be an asshole in my sleep. I'm not going to follow you on some dumbness. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
So it just depends, but I think that's where black people go wrong. Here in Tampa, they had on a radio show, I thought it was funny, there's somebody who is trying to create an all-white basketball team. And the reason that they said they want to create a basketball league, because they said the way basketball is designed, black people, you know, it being a black sport majority, they say it's too much showboating. There's too many dunks, there's too many round the backs and under the legs and all this, that white people don't want to see jazzed up basketball. They want it to be back to the basics, where you're doing a plain layup, you don't have to dunk the ball. And I just thought it was hilarious. So I'm like, I don't get it. It's 2010. Now we have to have an all-white basketball league.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read that about a month ago, and he wants to, because the guy is based out of Georgia somewhere, I think, and they're in Augusta or something. And he wanted to do it in like 12 cities. He didn't get much support. I don't think he got any support, quite frankly, but. Sometimes, you know, you got to stay in your lane. That's what we've
always
been taught.
Say, know your role.
You do. You know, if you can't sing, don't try to sing. Do what it is that you are good at. So sometimes, you know, just like the caller said and just like you're saying, if basketball is primarily a black sport, why try to recreate something or customize it to fit you because you want to do it or something?
I know why you do that. I understand why. Wait a minute. I understand why you do it. Don't women have the WNBA when basketball is particularly I know it's a second rate. No, no, it's second rate. But they want to have something to do. Like, hey, I can't make the NBA, but I want to sit out and play with my own boys. And we created a league. They got
in their own lane. I don't think that's why he was doing it at all. I think he was doing it because, like you said, it's an all-black sport. And so
yeah, they're not good enough. But it's not an all-black sport. It's an all-black league. It's not an all-black sport. It's an all-black league. So that means they want to be able to play, too. And if they want to be able to play, if there's an audience. No, no, but I'm saying if there's an audience for it, it's just like there was an NBA, then there was a CBA. There's an NFL, and then there's a Canadian Football League. If there's an audience for all white boys playing basketball, I mean, if you want to say that, then we shouldn't have a Universal Circus.
Well,
Negroes don't be training no animals like that. We can't do it as good as white people do it.
Well, you once you see that circus, you'd be surprised.
You
probably
can't
even know exactly. Okay. But the problem, though, Thomas, and I agree with what you're saying, especially when it comes to the basketball, even though I'm not going to watch women play basketball. I'm sorry. That's going to bore the heck out of me. But the all-white basketball league, the problem is there isn't an audience because nobody's, you know, pounding down his door saying, ooh, let me sign up.
But that goes back to, and I'm playing devil's advocate, so you can call me Keanu Reeves. The reason why there's no audience for it is kind of like what you guys said.
Fear.
You can't do something and get people to stand behind you on it. It's very difficult to get people to come out in public and say, yes, I believe that all white people should have their own league too, because you get ostracized. There's a lot of people. It's just like when your boy came out and was sleeping with them kids. It's a lot of grown-ass men that like sleeping with little young girls. It is.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't none of them going to come out and say, it should be okay, you're right, we're going to protest.
On Facebook.
You know what I'm saying? He's going to be a put up a Facebook group, we like screwing girls on the 12.com. You know, you're not going to do that. But have you noticed there is an underground segment for like that child pornography?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone stands up and says it's wrong. It was like being gay. If you went by what society said, then nobody was gay. It wouldn't have been like this one dude named Pooglum that lived in your neighborhood.
Oh.
Everybody else was straight, except Pooglum. And how the hell Pooglum be gay by himself?
Yeah, but sometimes you just need to let things just be and stop just trying to do something because somebody else did it and now you feel bad. Now you want to
do you know why white people get more out of life than we do? Because they push the envelope when we're afraid. You see what you just said? You said sometimes you should just sit down and let it happen.
Yeah.
They don't believe that. They believe that if they can fix it, if they can change it, if they can create one of their own, they will.
They try to because that whole white basketball thing, nobody wants to see somebody. I know I don't want to see it because part of the reason why I watch basketball a lot is I like to see the brothers doing what they do. Don't know if they got Jason Williams. They got what they need in there. Let it be. You have your representation. Let it be. Because that's just like when I went to.
Mm-hmm. No, I just want to ask you though. Do you think? I'm just curious though, because we haven't gotten into something else that I wanted to talk about. But I want to ask you: do you think it's racist then to have, you say that, but there's a black dude that's doing country music. Should he stop?
I'm not telling the man who wants to have an all white league stop. That's not what I'm saying. You do whatever it is you feel like doing. If you feel like it's something that's needed, you try and do it. I'm just saying, you know, some things should just be left alone. I mean,
I think they should try to have them a league. Because to be honest,
okay,
I was gonna try to come out with me a league of men over 30 and under 6 feet, and we we were gonna have
and
us don't a
know
league.
What?
How you gonna tell us you don't know how to see that? Why am I feeling gotta be one get hurt?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Hey, it is what it is. Now, if your feelings end up hurt at the end of the day, I'm just telling you the truth. Because if it was so, then most of the people, when they turn their age, then they would still be playing. They know it. Nobody want to see them play. They done made their millions. So go sit your ass down. Go fishing. Get off the court.
But the problem is, but they do, like the Harlem Globetrotters. It's a small audience for that, but the audience exists. The Charles Barkley done play golf, and they horrible at it. That's a white man's sport. Negroes still get out there and get beat up on, the white boy giggling at them.
But we ain't trying to have no all-black golfing league either. We accept
because
like
we ain't
swimming.
Got no common. Because
no,
black people don't
like
have enough common sense to have one. We don't have enough. The guy, the caller, hit it on the head when he said that they have the fact that no blacks own any NBA teams yet all blacks play in the NBA. You don't think that's a problem?
Yeah,
the
problem. That,
yeah, but all the look at FUBU. FUBU, it was called For Us, By Us, but sold it to them. How does that make sense?
Didn't you hear me when I started the conversation? I said some stuff people just do that's just dumbness. Some stuff is just pure dumbness. It makes no sense. And you know this. You know it just from posting crap and seeing what these idiots send you back. Some people just wait for something to happen so they can start firing off shitty-ass bullets. And sometimes it happens. And that's one of the things that happens.
Well, stay on, girl. I want you to be on the after show. We got a line full of people. The after show should be hilarious. Renee, I don't even want to try to touch what I want to talk about the I want to let the audience know what we're probably going to get into, but you're going to have to go back and listen to it. We're going to get into the mascot thing. Is that part of racism?
Oh, yeah.
You got a mascot that says, you know, it's the Cleveland Indians or the Washington Redskins, and they try to tell them they should be all right with this mascot because it's showing them in a proud manner. But there used to be a team called the Pittsburgh Negroes, and I don't think black people were too proud to see that black man with that ham and that yellow hat on his head. It was. I mean, the dude was literally the color black. It wasn't a black man. You know, it was the color black shaped in a figure with a hammer. Yeah, I've been looking up the Pittsburgh Negroes, but the Atlanta team were called the Crackers.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, but is that pride or is that racism? And still nobody has really addressed the ideas I thought they would as far as, and I'm going to bring in my boy. We're going to bring in Presidential Keith right now. But nobody has brought up the idea of, I like how the first caller said, well, if we don't have a flag, we can't get mad at them for having one.
That's true. And we also got, like we talked about before, the Panthers and things of that nature. So we're going to have an interesting after show for sure.
But Presidential Keith, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. What is your take on this as I'm looking for the white women on Match.com?
You are so wrong. Well, you know, there is a very thin line between pride and racism. A ridiculously thin line, so much so that everybody, you know, really confuses the difference between the two. And I don't think that, you know, you can also kind of separate them in terms of exclusivity either, because what one person considers pride, another person may really consider racist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really funny right now. Like, if you ever watch specials on the modern Ku Klux Klan, the modern Klan will tell you, like, some of the things you're talking about before at the beginning of the show. They'll say they don't hate black people. They don't hate white people. I mean, they don't hate – of course they don't hate white people. Duh. Sorry. I'm sorry. Can you tell I smoked the crack pipe earlier today? Anyway. But, you know, they'll tell you they don't hate minorities. They just want to have, you know, pride for the white race. And it's just kind of like the same thing dressed up just a little bit differently. You know, conversely, you know, I often hear a lot of times where we hear black people complain, how come we don't have stuff of our own? How come we don't have this? How come we don't have that? And then we say, well, get up and get up for yourselves. You know, if you don't remember from about circa 1963, Brown versus Board of Education already said separate but equal is not equal. Why are you trying to go for it?
Exactly. You got a point. Have you noticed? But do you notice that there was a time which we didn't want to sit on the back of the bus, but we fought for it just so we can now go sit on the back of the bus?
Yeah, you know what's what's kind of messed up about it is that after all of the fighting that people did for civil rights, so many of us who are like the children of civil rights and have the opportunity to benefit from all that hard fighting have more of a feeling of a sense of entitlement rather than a sense of really working for what you have. Now, I'm not saying that that's the whole problem, because let's face it, if you're a hardworking, intelligent black man, you've got, you know, more trouble than if you were an idiot. I mean, you really do. I mean, people will try to think about racism and saying, well, people just say, I hate black people. I hate, you know, Asians, or I hate the purple people to whom somebody keeps referring. I don't know why, because I still haven't figured out who the purple people are. But the I have no idea what I was about to say. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Damn. Somebody got to come kick Keith in the back of the neck and hope that he reboots.
Oh, damn.
See, what you got to do is do like me. Whenever I get to that point where I know I'm losing my train of thought because I'm old and don't get enough ginkgo, so what I do is I'll just say the thing that I'll remember the topic I'm talking about and just say the thing that just make everybody, you know, talk, you know, because I'll be like, and you know, because black people need to stand up and do it themselves. And hope somebody say, yeah, you're right, because that's what we need to. And then while they talking, think of something else to say.
Well, what I was actually going to say.
See?
Is that, you know. It.
Oh, my God.
What? When I was at, damn, I lost my train of thought again.
Again?
Oh, my God.
You are the worst conductor there is. Your train just keep going off the track. Oh, pick it up.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. This only.
Well, then maybe you could answer this for me, since I saw what you wrote about them purple black people. So I'm just wondering, what do you think about the idea of, okay, like the Chicago Blackhawks, the Washington Redskins? Is that racist, or do you think that's prideful?
There may have been a day where you thought that was kind of okay, but today ain't that day. Just get rid of them.
But I don't like the St. John's Red Storm. That bothers me. The Syracuse Orange.
Well,
yeah, they used to be called
the
Red Men.
Names.
They used to be called the Red Men. They changed their name to Red Storm.
Oh.
The Syracuse Orange Men are just now called the Orange.
Yeah, they couldn't call themselves the Red Men or Orange Men because it was viewed as discriminatory towards Native Americans.
Yeah, so but them pro teams were like, y'all can kiss my ass. We still going to be the Cleveland Indians. You playing the Atlanta Braves. They are they protesting the Indians for protesting. The Indians was outside the stadium. The white people were protesting them.
Well, you know, it gets to a point where, I mean, some of the brands can actually kind of claim, well, they've grown bigger than the original racist name that they represent. And I was like, maybe. So long as they're making money, nobody will gripe that much. You know?
Do you know that? Wait a minute.
It's on.
Thank you. See, that was my problem with Indians. And first off, they're not Indians. We call them Native Americans, but I don't even like that name. They should tell us what they were.
Oh, my God.
Don't they know what they were when the white people came? Seriously. They didn't have a name for themselves.
They're exactly the same way that they are that they were then, oppressed.
I'm saying, they don't tell you their name. They ain't never said, you know, we are XYZ. So here's my point. The only time the Indians ever had a problem, because the Braves been here in Atlanta since 65. The only time they had a problem with the Braves and wanted to protest is when the Braves and the Indians in 1997 played in the World Series. So wait a minute. They got to get all the way to the World Series before you got a problem? You didn't know they existed when they were losing? I'd rather some winners. I would rather some winners represent us. If the Pittsburgh Negroes won 5 or 6 championships, I would back them up.
Oh,
I wouldn't mind
no.
seeing that.
You
yes,
lost
I would.
Your damn mind.
You can't nobody beat. We had them have the posters and stuff. Can't nobody beat them Negroes, boy. Them Negroes is number one.
You want to see a bobblehead with the representations of what white people really think of us?
As long as hey, they still do that anyway. Have you seen the Barry Bonds bobblehead?
Oh God, don't even get me started.
Every time they do a black bobblehead, they do something to make you just be like, "Why did we even ask for this Hank Aaron bobblehead?"
Really?
Yes, they will. They will make it sure. Not only is he black, he extra black, and then he got pink lips. His eyes is extra wide. Seriously, his nose touching his earlobe. I mean, they make sure. They might well put a bone through his nose.
Oh.
I'm telling you, it's hard. When you watch the little dolls they had, that little Tiana doll, I wouldn't even let my daughter get that doll. They done put the body of Yasmin or the body of the Little Mermaid and then put the face of the monkey on top of it.
No, you did not say them.
They did? And I was sitting up there like, I can't let my daughter play with this thing.
See, and that finally helped me remember what I was going to try and say.
Monkey?
No. See, like, racism is very rarely as blunt as I hate black people, I hate this group, I hate this group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I mean, especially the way that racism is today, it's so like, you know, a black man in a workplace won't be described as, you know, well, he's angry. I mean, he'll be described as like angry or like people will say he's hypercritical. They'll say that he's very aggressive at work, you know, things like that. You know, nobody will complain until unless you show up at the party with a white woman on your arm and then, oh, he must be, you know, like he must be really rolling in dough. That's the only way he'd hook up with that white girl, you know?
That ain't pretty much right, but go ahead.
Uh-oh.
Well, if he's fine, now if she's fat, he probably just a black dude. He can get a fat one. We can get them fat ones.
You've been watching
I'm
too
just
much
saying.
Maury.
We can get one of them. We can get her to love you down.
Oh, boy.
But if she look like Elon, which I said in the last show, Elon don't look good. Elon look like just a piece of paper. Not even the college rule. Just a piece of paper.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a problem with Elon. I'm going to start the I Hate Elon fan club.
Oh.
I don't see who's going to join me on that one. Oh, but Keith, I mean, you're right about that, the way they look at it and the way they would think about it. They would say, well, you know, this guy has to have money because he's getting this woman. And I want to keep you around, Keith, for the after show because the lines are full. I'm sorry I didn't get to you guys. But I'm going to let all you guys get on the after show. This is Your World, My Views. And we talked about pride versus racism. And pride versus racism is a very sketchy, very, as some of the callers said, it's an iffy thing. And at the end of the day, you got to make sure that the pride that you have in yourself and in the people that you come from doesn't become offensive and offensive towards another group in a negative way. Because at the end of the day, when you're wondering what's the difference between pride and racism, it's when the pride that you have in yourself and your group causes you to say something negative or defaming towards another group. This is Your World, My Views. See you guys Monday, where, again, we broadcast live from the Mellow Mushroom downtown. Be safe and watch out for the animals on 285.
Oh, my God.
Y'all, man, you got to watch out for them animals. Renee, why don't you do a roll call while I go take a piss? Because I have been drinking and sitting, and I really got to let it go. But I'm going to leave the mic on so y'all can hear exactly what I'm doing.
You leave it. Okay. In order to keep order, I'm just going to call out your area code and your exchange. I know that we have LaTiffany. I know that we have Keith. I think we have Julia. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. 860-518. All right. 860-518. Who is that?
Miss Irma.
Okay. Hey.
Hey.
404
754. Who is that? One more time. Who is that? Okay.
They want to be heard.
What?
Can we hang up?
Yeah. No. 678592, as we hear the beautiful melody of P in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you. 862.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Wait.
Oh my goodness.
So now, all the women on the call, you know what we're waiting to hear after that, right? The sink.
I ain't washing my hands.
Oh, I know not to eat nothing from his house. I'm talking about sit on the couch and just be quiet.
Do not shake.
I wash my hands every time I pee when somebody's around. If I'm by myself, I just might piss on my hands to sanitize it.
Oh, I'm not shaking his hand either.
I have one more.
860209,
are you still there?
Tough from Connecticut. What's going on, y'all?
Oh, hey, how are you? Welcome back.
Welcome back. Well, I'm welcome back, everybody. I'm back again. I'm ready to get back on them topics because it's a lot of gaps. I feel that there's a lot of gaps that we should discuss
well,
that's been left out about.
I want to get your opinion. You heard the show, right? You know we're talking about pride versus racism, correct?
Right. Yeah, I wasn't listening to the whole entire show, but I got on, and I've been on, I feel, for a while. First thing I want to ask you.
We talked about three things, and we were going to get into a fourth one, but I want to get your opinion on the first three. Do you think the Confederate flag is racist or just prideful for the people?
Because of what you said, the federal flag?
Yeah, the Confederate flag.
Confederate flag, because of what the Confederate flag represent and for the reasons that people fly the Confederate flag today, I feel that that's racism. The original purpose of the flag, I don't feel it was racist. It was to recognize the states and their togetherness. But now people fly it for a whole other reason. They put it on they have it on the back of their cars, on the back of their windows, flying on their houses in the South and in the Midwest. So and they flying it. They feel a certain way. They believe a certain way. And most of the time, the majority of the time, is racist or racist.
Now that was a damn near perfect answer, a quick answer, a concise answer. So I'm going to get you to go to the second one then. The second one we asked about was the fact that you have a BET music, a BET station, a FUBU clothing wear. You have a Black Music Awards. Are these things racist or prideful?
Well, to the people that's doing it, while they're doing it, in their minds, they're not feeling as if they're better or feeling as if this is against another race. They're celebrating their accomplishments together as a race, and other races do the same thing. And when other races do the same thing, like when Native Americans have their powwows, or white people come together and have
their powwows.
Oh, powwow,
listen to me. At their powwows, when they come together and they do their thing, their Native American thing, we're going to get on that Native American thing in a minute, too, but their so-called American thing, you know, in their minds, they're not like, we're against other races and
right.
Fuck other races and best. They're celebrating their nativity and their culture, and to them, that's good. So it's not racist, but to other people that's looking in who are ignorant, to what's really going on, in their eyes, it could appear as racism. But that's not
so if there was a TV station called White Entertainment TV,
would
you be okay?
MTV?
Wet.
And they'd be like, we keep it all day. We like Jenna Jameson. We keep it wet. Would you find a problem with that, Connecticut? Would you have a problem with that, a wet entertainment TV?
Me? Because I would say, well, they trying to do their thing. But instead of them taking their culture, because now listen to me. Instead of taking their culture, which they really don't have, they can't do it. So what they do is jump into other people's cultures and for their culture, just like they're doing with our culture right now. Now, listen, if you look at TV, they're selling every goddamn thing and using hip-hop. They're using our faces and our dances and our music and everything. It's all about us, but it's them doing it.
But we've always allowed them to steal our stuff. I saw a Whirlpool washer commercial for a washer and dryer, and they were saying, and the woman said, "Well, regular washer and dryer just goes around and around." And you saw this guy doing a hip hop move where he's going around and around. And then they said, "But the Whirlpool washer goes this something," and the guys were doing the hip hop dancing.
Exactly.
It was all white people doing the hip hop dancing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then the white guy was standing there with his white wife, and he goes, "Word, yo,
get out."
Mm-hmm.
Y'all never seen that commercial?
I've never seen
that. It is like one black person on that commercial. They're all white people doing the hip hop dancing. When you watch that, there's a TV show called on MTV, Randy Jackson's Best Dance Crew.
It's like one black
person in there. All the rest of the crews be white. And I'm like, how the fuck they find all white and Asian groups doing all black dances? But we allow them to, and we got to mute somebody. We allow them to take our culture.
I don't think it's necessarily a taking of culture as much as it is an absorption of culture. I mean, granted, you can say that there is some, I mean, kind of blatant taking that's happened. I mean, good example, Pat Boone, Little Richard, 1950s, Tutti Frutti.
Exactly.
Okay, that was something that was blatant. But, I mean, the fact is that, and this is a strength, this is one of the great strengths of black culture that you just can't deny, is that everywhere around the world you go, I mean, there is a predominance of some kind of black culture or of African-American culture. You could go to the furthest part of, like, South Korea or China, and the minute you put on a Jay-Z track, people are up in the club dancing.
Oh, and they know the words, too.
And they, yeah, exactly.
Let me address. Listen, you said it's not about stealing a culture. It's about an absorption of culture. I disagree, my brother. Let me give you some facts. Let's go back. Look at our music back in the days. Elvis Presley stole black music. Look at jazz. Jazz and the blues originated with us. Look at what's going on with jazz and the blues now. Only people that's playing it is white people, and they don't play it like us. Jazz and the blues is different, and you can feel the difference in the music. And the reason that everybody around the world is attracted to our music because you can feel something in our music that you can feel. And what that is that soul. And everybody on this planet don't have that. Everybody's babies can't just listen to music and naturally have rhythm. You can watch black babies and put on music, and you never taught them how to dance a lick in their life. But they will find the rhythm in that music and move their bodies to it.
My daughter's mom sent me a video of my daughter, and I've never seen my daughter dance. Apparently, they had put on some song, and she got to shake in her butt. And 4 years old, and she don't see that in my house. Yes, and I was like, she don't see that in my house. She's dancing and throwing her arms around. And I'm like,
Slow down, my brother.
What do you mean?
Listen, I love what my brother is saying from Connecticut, but I want to throw a little mix in that. And I really admire and respect my brother. He's my brother. Much love to you, my brother.
Absolutely.
But just let me say one thing, and I'm quite sure my brother will agree with me. There's only one thing that is constant, and it's change.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not changing. We're not changing. Now, see, it's all about business. If the blues come in the days back when we were doing the blues, and Elvis Presley, the white man comes in, uses money, strangles us to death, and then reproduce our same songs and sell it back to us, while we remain the same. Now, you have to beat them at their own game with your own stuff because we have the ability to do that. Look at basketball. It was only played by Jews at one time. Who rules the court now? So I'm not, when the sister talk about they're trying to make a white team, change has come, which means if you bring a white team, an all-white basketball team, all these kids who have seen dunking, spinning, turning, crossover, it's going to be hard to get that generation back to follow a team that doesn't do that. It's about change. So if we want to maintain our blues, we want to maintain our IFA, we got to stay strong and do what it takes to keep it going. We can't take the back of the bus no more if you want to do change. And that's what
I politely disagree with just about all of you again, and I'll make this point very quickly. You know, if you want to know who still rules the court is the white man, while the black men
Thank
are
you.
Playing all over it.
Thank
the
you.
White
money wise,
own it.
Money wise, he rules the court.
Right.
I'm talking about right, and that's what I'm saying. So even though you talk about the rules, money wise, the white man still rules.
Hip hop
money wise, he rules. But where are we? You see, if you are a producer of a TV show, and you got a 9-year-old daughter, and you want to do a toothpaste ad on TV, why would you go into the black neighborhood to get a black child if you're a white man? You use your own kid. But if a black man has it, he would not use his child. You have to grow with the pace and keep the money where it's supposed to be. Otherwise, you will always be at the back of the bus, whether you like it or not.
Let me say this, and then you can come in. Because I don't want to forget like you and then be trying to reboot. But here's my thing. If the NBA is predominantly run by blacks, if the blacks that's the best in the league that are coming from college are still the people that are best coming from college are still black. If we wanted to, we could say we won't play in the NBA. We're going to start our own league because we are the best players. There's that right now. They talk about the NCAA and the college students feeling like they should get paid. The college students should get paid. But see, they keep telling them to do one thing every year, and they refuse to do it because they're indoctrinated by the whites to not do this, to not stand for up for yourself. They said all the black players got to do is wait for time for the tournament, the March Madness, and refuse to play. That's all they have to do. They can play the whole year and not play in March, and it will cost CBS a lot of money, and CBS and all those colleges would have to pay those brothers, but they can't get them to do it. Why?
I'll tell you why, my brother. I'll tell you why. First of all, keep in mind that 90% of those black students have their mama and papa behind them, dependent and waiting for the paycheck. So that's a turmoil in their head right there. Secondly, no matter which way you look at it, all these folks want, there's not one black businessman who will step up and say, okay, son, I'll pay you to play ball on my team, and I'll pay you good. Because that option is not there, and you know you got to go to Joe Blow for your salary. Guess what? He will wait you out, and you will end up playing on no team at all because no black team is going to take you. That's why I say there has to be change. Black businessmen, black lawyers, black doctors, they have to stand up and build that fort solid as a rock where those who are coming out of college can listen. You know how many black kids we have going to college who are young lawyers absolutely working for the white man? And you're telling me all those black lawyers like Johnny Cochran, who has passed away, that they couldn't start something to really carry on the youth without you going to work for the white man and being a proud black man or sister?
Because
that foundation is not there.
Because
exactly.
We keep getting taught to work for the white man. We keep getting taught
exactly.
that you take your skills and give it to the white man. They were,
exactly.
You look at how Michael Jordan and all these athletes who left the game with millions of dollars and they couldn't get together to buy just one team? Seriously?
They want to play golf with the white guy, so they ain't going to do it.
They're not used to even Tiger Woods. He was raised by a black man. Let me tell you what Tiger Woods had the ability to do but refused to do. They said Tiger Woods did not have to play for the PGA Tour. He could have started the Tiger Tour, and they kept saying he's thinking about doing it. Because every time Tiger stepped his foot on an event, the PGA's viewership, money, purses for everyone went up. He didn't have to play on the PGA Tour. He could have played on
That's
his
true.
Own tour, and everybody would have went. But what white people understand is if you hand us enough money, we will say, well, it's easier for me to take the money from you than go out and get it myself.
And that was the point I was about to bring up, is the laziness of, and I'm not going to say everybody, but of some blacks. They feel that comfort zone. Well, hey, I'd rather wake up and know that I'm going to be able to, and not, it's not a guarantee, but to be okay with waking up and possibly going to your job every single day, and it's there, than to get up, grind for your own, and struggle through. You know what? Your door might not open. You might be a doctor and go out and open your own practice, and you might not have one single patient until you build up your patient. They'd rather go and work at a hospital or for Bill, who already has, you know, 1,000 patients coming through his door every day. They don't want to take that time, effort, hard work of grinding it out day in and day out with the guarantee that it might not be a rainbow every single day. Black people just feel that comfort and that convenience working behind somebody all the time.
Yeah, and it's too much pressure being the man. Go ahead, Keith. Keith, go ahead.
I'll take that a step further. I mean, leadership is hard. It's hard enough for the people who are in privileged positions, let alone those of us who are fighting, you know, to get ahead. When you sit and you watch, okay, well, I'm smarter than, you know, all of the people in my office, but this idiot, you know, got this promotion because of his affiliation with the boss, or, you know, you're trying to be a black owner out on your own. Because I did this for many years, you know, just having a business on my own, and it's a hard deal to actually walk in the door and actually have somebody take you seriously, because you're out there putting yourself and everything at risk, and those risks don't pay off for a very long time, and you've got to be able to hang in there long enough for those things to kind of turn itself around, or you just say, well, things finally get bad enough that you just have to take the other option.
True.
Some of that is true, but then I still go back to that. That's part of life. If everything was easy, hell, everybody would be owning shit left and damn right, but they don't. You know why? Because that separates the people that can actually grind through it and know that they, fuck it, I'd rather just go into work every day and get the paycheck that I'm getting and be done with it. And you're right. Some people don't have that mindset of having that leadership mindset where they think, oh, well, you know what, it might just be shitty for 5 years. But if I do what I'm supposed to do and do it the right way, I might have 50 years of success. They'd rather not put in the hard work for those 5 years. They want it quick and easy and conveniently.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's easy to work for somebody because here's the thing, and I hate to say it, but it's a lot of the reason why a lot of these black men have their houses and cars in y'all black women name. Because it's easy to drive that car, and then if I lose my job, well, they're going to come looking for you. They're not going to come looking for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying it's the same thing with a company. It's easier to not own that company and have to worry about dispersing those checks to everybody, have to worry about people coming to you about the shipment having not arrived or blah, blah, blah. It's easier to just do your part and get your check and go home. And a lot of us, I mean, because if you look at it like this, look at there's a guy named Steve Jobs and there's a guy named Bill Gates.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. Got a lot of money, but can't stand each other. Now, why can't they stand each other, you ask? Well, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates used to be homeboys. The fact that Bill Gates went out and decided he's going to make Microsoft on his own, and Steve Jobs was so upset that he went out and made Macintosh. Then he went out and made Apple. This man continuously built companies and turned them into billion-dollar industries. We don't have too many of us that decide, well, I'm going to compete on the level of whatever. Again, we could compete with the NBA. The NBA had the NFL had the AFL before they had to run the AFL out of business because they wanted to compete.
Right.
The idea that it seems like we don't want to compete. We'd rather work for the big guy than try to topple the big guy.
But I have a question, or a statement rather. On that vein, though, we talked about, the NBA, and I believe, if blacks started their own league or what have you, it could be successful. But I think
it would be.
I know, but hold on. I say could because just like, you know, if you go down Buford Highway, you've got strip malls owned exclusively by Koreans. Go a little further, owned by Japanese, go a little further, owned by Chinese. You don't have really black strip malls that will survive past however many years because we overprice everything. We overcharge.
No, we don't have black strip malls. We have black strip clubs.
Well, of course.
And if I'm going to say, if my dollars are going to go anywhere, it's in a district.
No way.
But my concern is that we have greed that enters into our culture. I don't see that greed, as we talked about, we had some show, I don't know, a few months back, when we talked about how the Jews are successful. They keep their money within.
Well, that's why they don't have to be greedy.
Well, right, but I'm saying we have to start somewhere. It's very difficult if you want to start a business.
If you're starving, when you get food, you're gonna take it. If you're hungry, you're gonna automatically be greedy because you don't know the next time you're gonna get food. So that's just the way our mindset is.
Can I say something?
I wanted to hear who that was though. First, I wanted to know who that was. Who was that?
This is Nafir Muma.
Oh, okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. I love your speaking voice. Now, go ahead, Miss. Can I say something?
Sorry.
In terms of what we were saying.
I'm sorry, Renee. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Whatever. Unfortunately, the black race is my phone echoing or is that yours?
I think that's your phone echoing unless y'all standing beside each other.
Hold on.
Okay, that's better. Every time I spoke up.
Do you have me on some kind of speakerphone or something?
No, I'm not, but every time I speak, I can hear me in the background speaking.
I can hear me now. I'm speaking to you, too. The hell is it?
Anyway.
Oh, while we're waiting,
it's like echoing.
Let them get strip clubs?
It's an echo. It's a feedback.
It's like, am I the only one hearing that?
No,
we all hear
it, too.
No, I
think we all hear it.
Okay,
you calling us from Diana?
No, I'm not calling you from Guyana. Anyway, but unfortunately, the black race seems to be the only race that within ourselves we're segregated. We don't know how to come together. With the Asian race, the Jewish people, they work together. Like the young lady just said, like, if you're hungry or something or you're greedy, you're going to fight for food. That's our mentality. We think we have to fight each other to survive. When it's not always like that. If we come together and work together and learn how to pool our resources together, we could achieve anything. When you go back in black history and look at half of the stuff that were created, we were the founders of the majority of stuff that are flourishing today. But we give up too easily. Or we get scared when competition comes around, or we think we have to fit in to make it. Well, we don't. Because if we, like I think Thomas said with the NBA, if they branch off on their own, fear keeps us from doing that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, not only with just the fear, also the fear comes from ourselves, from our own people. The white people is not telling us, oh, you can't do that. They don't care. They know we already tearing each other down, so they have no reason to tear us down. We tear ourselves down.
You're right. Once they've gotten us to the point where we will tear ourselves down, they no longer need to do it. They have fixed it up to where we will have self-doubt as soon as we start.
Exactly. We're our worst enemies, but we're quick to blame the man for everything. The man not doing us a damn thing. We're the ones who holding ourselves back.
Because honestly, if you looked at it, if LeBron James said, look, LeBron, you're still LeBron no matter what league you play in. I'm still Kobe no matter what league I play in. If we go, NBC goes. We can get a contract with NBC tomorrow if they know we got you, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, who's starting a 17 league. They get an immediate sponsorship from it's amazing.
That feedback is horrible.
Yeah, it is. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm about to punch somebody.
Horrible.
Why am I hearing myself? Somebody done put the phone up to another phone talking about ha-ha. Damn it, man.
Okay, stop.
Why are we doing it?
But that's
I don't know, but it's annoying.
It is.
sound like we are announcing for the damn New York Yankees. And coming up, Alex Rodriguez.
Stop. The lady who made the last comment about black people working together, it's also, I think, black people sometimes don't know how to do things as intelligently. They get in a rush, and when it fails, oh my gosh, now they go back to whatever it is, what all they knew. When you're trying to be a business owner and you don't have it all together.
It's you, Molly. You have something loud in the background. I just muted you and it went away.
I don't have anything loud in the background. I'm still here.
When I mute you, it goes away. Watch.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think sometimes we tend to get in a rush to get to that finish line and don't understand how to get to that finish line. And other races understand that it's not about getting there, but how you get there in the end. They tend to get into this rush of trying to, you know, be the millionaires. And in getting to that, they fail, and then all of a sudden they go back to the only thing that they've known, and they've given up on something, trying to succeed or become successful at something because they're going about it the wrong way. I've seen people where they try to become business owners, and they just drop everything. Like, they quit their job. They're not financially set that it might not happen. It might take me 5 years. What am I going to do? They don't think about all that stuff. They just go and try to do something, and when it don't work, they blame somebody else or they blame another race or somebody or something. I think people need to think about the direction it takes to get somewhere instead of just getting in the car and going.
My grandmother said something. Go ahead.
Okay, to piggyback off of what the last caller just said, or speaker, the reason why, in my opinion, that we do that is because all these other races, they respect their elders, and they go to their elders, and they talk about different things. We don't have any respect for our elders. We can care less about what they think. We basically go into everything big-headed, thinking that we have all the answers, and we basically don't come together and discuss things. All these other races, they're willing to discuss things with one another to be able to point out, well, what about this or what about that? Nobody wants to discuss anything because they're afraid that if I give my great, bright idea, somebody's going to take it. So we're not willing to even open up to each other to be able to discuss these different things and the different issues and the what if and the whys. We don't do that. So we just go out on our own and try to do it, and then we wonder why it fails. We don't have any unity. So,
and that's what I was about to say. I mean, when I started doing the radio show, all I got was people saying they wanted to do it. So you have 99,000 people saying they want to do a radio show. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Versus having one great one.
And it's like what somebody said. This girl put on her post, and I love her post. She said, since I've been in Atlanta, every guy used to be a rapper, and now they all promoters. She said, if they all promote the club, who they are at the club? And she's right. Why is it that you see your homeboy promoting and you want to promote? Now you want to promote. Now everybody in your little damn crew got their own promotion company. It's more damn promoters than clubs. How does that work?
Well, we've had a long tradition of selling each other out. I mean, people don't talk about this much, but you remember in the early days of slavery, it wasn't just white guys going down to, and just grabbing every black African that they could find. African tribes were selling each other. I mean, we're selling rival tribes as slaves. It's not so far as what, I mean, the kind of stuff that's going on today with you gotten everybody who's a promoter. Everybody sees what you do and think, I can do it better. Well, you know, everybody on my block has got a record company. We're all going to get up.
Which is like what I said, if we learn to work together.
I want to say that things like that did happen in Africa where certain tribes would sell out other tribes. But it was that right there, those were just minor things, you know what I'm saying, in comparison to the 3 pages slave trade.
I disagree with you totally. Totally disagree with you. There's a lot more of that going on than you think. Zulus, especially.
Hold on. Let me. Hold on. What do you disagree on?
You said
it was a minor amount. He's saying that he disagrees with the fact that it was a minor amount of tribes trading slaves.
In comparison to the feedback.
Is it your phone?
Y'all can't hear me? Am I echoing?
No, you weren't.
Uh-oh. I just heard it.
Yep. Oh, Lord, Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah, you blaming me.
This is the man keeping us down, man. The man's in the
I was about to blame it on white people.
I bet it is one of these people on here that didn't speak up. I bet it's a white dude.
He's taking notes.
My phone's still. My brother, I want to hear your views. Go ahead, my brother.
Please, do one more test.
It was three major slave trades where slaves was taken in abundance. So I should say we were taken into bondage or kidnapped in abundance in the 1400s, the 1500s, and the 1600s. Now, these three major slave trades right here, the amount of people that was brought over here in comparison to what you're talking about, I'm not saying that the things that happened over there are minor. I'm saying they are minor in comparison to the three major slave trades that I'm talking about. I'm not saying that those things aren't minor. And I also wanted to address the sister and how she was saying, like, black people easy and black people this and black people that. That's like saying, why can't that man over there with no legs run faster than that? You know what I mean? She has to come to the understanding that black people here in this country, we are main, number one. We're thinking in another man's mindset. We're thinking in the white man's mindset. I'm going to say how it is. We're thinking in the white man's mindset. And that don't fit into our criteria, and the way that we learn differently than they learn in a classroom setting. The way that the classroom is set up, it's set up for them to achieve and do better because it's set up by them. Now, and if you get classrooms that's set up by us because we don't learn in the same way where you can make the kid comfortable in class. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about just comfortable. Send them in different directions. Why does everybody have to be facing forward? Why can't everybody be sitting in a circle and the teacher be in a mess? You know what I mean? Change it up. We learn differently. We don't learn like white people learn. That's why when we go to white people's schools and we get white people education, we don't achieve like white people do.
Why don't we create our own school? Why don't we tell them to do our own? Why fit in?
I think the caller, the brother,
I can't remember his name, but he has the Caribbean accent. He'll probably back me up on this one. The fact that we can't keep waiting on them to produce something to make us better.
Exactly.
You're absolutely correct. Let me explain myself. Let me explain a little bit on that. The reason that that's not happening, the reason that we're not grabbing hold, even though we're the main horsepower of everything, every engine in this country. The reason that we won't come together and take hold is because of our mindset. They got us maimed, number one, and they are the authority. But when you're the authority in a country, authorize everything that in that country and how that thing runs, the paperwork behind it, how much permit, everything that has to do with it. If you did make it, brothers and sisters that have their own businesses right now, in some way or another, white people got their hand in your goddamn pocket. And the way to get out of that is we got to give them back and establish our very own. I mean, give them back their currency, give them back their clothing, give them back all of their shit and make our own shit. Make our own clothing. I mean, I'm talking about pick our own goddamn and turn the cotton into fabric and make our own clothes. Now, hard to knowledge because my grandmother made her own clothes. She said we had to make our own clothes. My grandmother picked cotton and made her own clothes.
See, while I agree with the spirit of what you're saying behind you, I mean, I can hear the energy and I can hear the pride and I can hear, you know, the absolute, you know, get up and do for yourself attitude, which is fantastic. But again, I have to. But again, I have to say that a lot of the things you're saying are just flat out wrong. I don't want to spend too much time on the slavery trade, but the three groups you're talking about, the Spanish, the English, and the Dutch, the big three of the slaveholders, kind of like NBC, Fox, and ABC. You know, I mean, those guys didn't just show up, I mean, grab a whole bunch of black people and just lay off. I mean, they made deals with all those different tribes,
yes,
to say, hey, look,
exactly,
what, you
exactly
bring us, you bring us your warring factions, we'll put them on a boat, we'll get them out of here, you'll have this place all for yourself.
All for yourself.
And essentially,
mm-hmm,
we have a lot of that kind of mindset today, where we have a lot of folks who are just kind of saying, like you said, we're not in the right mindset. You know, we've got folks who are just like, you know what, we just need to get them out of here. We need to get them away from us, and we need to do, you know, for us. Well, you know, that didn't work back in the days before civil rights, and it's not going to work now in an economy where everything in the world is intertwined. We've got a preponderance of black culture just about everywhere on the planet. And there are opportunities for different entrepreneurs, especially those who have areas of expertise in African-American culture and in everything African-American, to be able to take advantage of these things. But, you know, there are several big challenges. One of the first big challenges is, like you said, mindset. Another big challenge is getting past some of the already established lines of credit and the established things that are in there for, as you would refer to, that the white man owns, and trying to be able to navigate through all of that culture. But the fact is, we've got to be able to get through it. Barack wouldn't be president if it wasn't for, you know, not only huge support from black people, but huge support from white people. You know, and look how hard he had to fight. Look how hard he's still got to fight the racism he's dealing with now. You know, we can't just live on the us versus them mentality and expect it to work. Things are a lot more complex, and we've got to be able to navigate through it.
Mm-hmm.
Can
I
give a perfect example on what he said? This week on the I don't know if you guys listen to the TJMS show. I remember earlier this week, Tavis Smiley called in, and he was challenging people like Al Sharpton and them and talking about something about the black agenda and saying, where's the black agenda? Why are we not holding Obama to the black agenda? And another guy by the name of Roland Martin came back the next day and said, unfortunately, that's what's wrong with us. We're looking for Obama to fix stuff and to give a help out. Instead, and he's like, okay, the time you're calling for another meeting, for another black agenda, when do we start acting? When do we get up and act on what we want? When do we get out and let our actions show instead of always talking? Talk is cheap. And Tavis Smiley was very mad because both Al Sharpton and that guy came back and told him that, because he's basically saying we should have this meeting in Chicago and have this talk. And there's like, talk is cheap. At least we're up there doing stuff. We're actively going out there rallying people to get up and do stuff. We're meeting with the president to try to get the jobs, bills, and whatever passed. What is talk doing? Nothing. And unfortunately, a lot of us have that mentality. We love to sit down and talk about stuff when stuff go wrong. We all have our two cents to add. But when it comes to execute that action, we all sit down. None of us get up and move on it. And a lot of it, that's what holds us back.
Black people have always been, what do they say, great speech givers? We give a rousing speech. We are the best pastors in any church. We will sit there and get you together and get you to – we'll rile everybody up to want to fight. It's like back in slavery. I bet it was a couple of dudes used to be in there talking at night, real late, real low. I'm tired of massa. We need to all get together and go do something. Then he goes to sleep.
No, he was the one that got lynched the next day.
He was talking go to sleep. He was the one where the master came up and said, I heard what y'all were talking. He pointed at somebody else. It was them. The one with the most mouth be the one to tell on everybody. Y'all saw the movie Malcolm X?
Yeah.
When Malcolm actually started doing stuff, the one who just wanted to keep the talk going turned on him. Turned him over. Helped the white people get it.
We our own people.
Yes, because we want to be in position to where we can talk a lot. That's why black men like being pastors of churches, because it's an easy end to get with the women. It's hard to be a black panther, but it's easy to follow Martin Luther King. It is.
Come on, Luther King just asked you to walk a little bit, preach a little bit. They get the running dog, tell them I'm sorry. Malcolm X said, get a gun, go shoot it out with them.
Mm.
It's very difficult to get up there and say to these white people that, I mean, think about it. And I say this and people get mad. Blacks are the only race of people who were generally enslaved that didn't fight to get their own freedom.
Yep, that's true.
It was given to them. It's like four Indians left because they fought and the smallpox and everything killed them. But they kept fighting. They make a deal with the white man. The white man would back out on the deal. He get mad, go kill them. And then they think, you know, they kill their whole tribe. Not us. Mm-hmm. They killed two people and we went right back into the slave house.
Yeah. Can I say something, my brother? Let me butt in there, my brother. I think you just made a small error there. In the country, in Jamaica in 80, those black people there in Jamaica, they set the whole goddamn country on fire for years until the British run away. In 80, Toussaint beat down, from Italy, beat him down. It's only here that my brothers prefer to march than to fight.
I'm talking about the American black. See, I know Haiti's
Haitian
black.
They're something completely different from the American black.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to look at this. I understand that the Haitians fought Napoleon to get their freedom.
Right on, my brother. And the Jamaicans set Jamaica on fire. The British had to give up. So you have to, don't burn it all once. You got to go after the wherever the pain is coming from. You have to take care of the pain. And my brother was rather march on the street, and I see them do it all the time in Hartford. But marching is over, man. You gotta get up and do something.
Yeah, marching doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I'll tell them in a minute. It's February. Quit marching.
What are you marching for?
Somebody got it, damn it.
I got it. Hello?
Yeah,
like my West Indian brother just said, when they was messing with the brothers down in the Caribbean, was wilding out. Now that was with the John Hawkins kidnapping in the 1500s. Now because of the brothers in the Caribbean wild out so much, they had to go through other means to get slaves that they can better control, which your result was the African American slave. The African American slave was completely de-Africanized, or he was totally cut off from his roots. The brothers down in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, those brothers still had some of that African blood in them. That's why those crackers that was kidnapping them then was having problems. Now,
here's another reason why that was able to happen.
Also, to add to that, in the Caribbean, which a lot of people fail to realize, especially the country I'm from in Guyana, we call them Amerindians. Y'all call them Native Americans. The Amerindians in the Caribbean helped a lot of the black people escape from slavery. Because a lot of, if you notice with those islands, especially where I'm from, I could only speak from Guyana. Guyana is mostly developed on the coast. That's because when the slave owners, the whites, the British, we had Portuguese, Dutch, and British on our land. When they went there, it was easier for them to manage and control what's going on the coast. Guyana is one of the only countries that still have untouched rainforests. But what they failed to realize, the Amerindians live and inhabit those areas, so they knew the forest. And they helped a lot of those slaves to escape to those areas, which was able to help the West Indian or the Caribbean people. They were able to defeat slavery faster, in terms of escape from it faster, because they had aid. They didn't do it on their own. They had most of those Amerindians help them.
Oh.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, Jesus.
I was about to say, yeah, that'd be an easy way for me to leave you alone, too. You tell me you got back.
Only Tommy would say that.
Only him.
Only his mind would think of that.
I'm sorry, she said they gotta leave him alone because they had AIDS.
They have the people helping them because the Spaniards themselves did not have the tools to go into the rainforest. They didn't know the land. They didn't know what and what to expect. That's why to this day, when they go in the rainforest, they act like if those stuff are, oh, my gosh, this creature. But if you ever notice with the people who are carrying them through those forests, they know the names of every last one of the plants, birds, fishes that the Americans or whoever claiming, oh, this is a new species. No, it's not new. It's that Indian man, which you just told you the damn name of it. Because they're the first to tune it. Yeah, it's new. But no, they knew it went their way before you got there.
But that's kind of what I just asked. I was a bit funny, but I was like, why don't the Indians take, since the Indians know they're not from India, why did they never tell people what their name was?
See, I don't know in terms of, see, there's different types of Indian, though. There's Indians from India, the country, and then there's what, like I said, what we call Amerindians, which is what you guys call Native Americans. They're the people who are.
When you say Amerindians, that's just short
Amerindians.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
South America is called America. It's called South America. And because we didn't know, they have tribal names. I don't know their tribal names. I don't know their tribal names, but to refer to them, we call them Amerindians. They do not call themselves Amerindians.
I know, it's just short for the term American Indian. That's where it comes from.
Yeah, because, well, which probably is true. Y'all just break it up. In Guyana, we call it one word.
All right, yeah, exactly. Go ahead. What I'm saying is, oh, go ahead, bro.
For the sister, even if you don't, if you don't know the native name, sister, that's fine. Just know this. That the original Native Americans were black. Original anything was black because we inhabited this planet first, and we was on every single part of this planet, every single land, every part, every landmass we existed on and lived on. Thank you.
Let me say this to you then.
Actually, I would argue that. Because
yeah,
the Native Americans, the original ones, are dark skinned.
I was going to do that too, but let's not do that. Let's just say this. If that is the case, and we're going to say that the case, because I've heard this ever since I was little, and it's always nice to hear, but apparently we never do anything with it. Whites created basketball. We make fun of them because we're better at a game that they created.
But
we the original man, and we was all over these places. Well, if I was white, I would sure enough put up my flag right now because we took it all over.
They put theirs everywhere.
Let them take it over.
That's why everywhere they went to the moon, they stuck their flag in wherever they conquered. They not
done.
And we leave them. We don't pull it out.
Thank you. We let them.
When they claim America from the Indians were inhabiting the land first. Did they pull it out? No. They let them kill them and call it Thanksgiving.
Thank you. But you're right.
We're not natural. We're not natural destroyers. We don't naturally go around destroying things. So that's part of our nature to be so giving like that. That's part of our problem as well.
And that is our downfall.
We give up all our secrets and then get upset that we got the secrets.
When we say we're naturally giving, but we're naturally taking from ourselves. What about the people who are
around? Exactly. That's my point. Exactly. We're shooting ourselves in the foot.
And I wanted to address the idea of how the islanders got their freedom and the black Americans didn't. Here's the biggest reason. If you're in an island, it's harder to keep them people away from each other. It's harder to break up the family because it's just on an island.
Mm-hmm.
If slaves owned the island, it would be hard for them to separate them, and it would be easier for them to fight in a concentrated area. But in the United States, what they did was they had the families be in Georgia. And when they got to the point where they realized the easiest way to keep the slaves in check, since we're not there doing it in these islands, were to do it like how they did it in South Africa and how they did it in America. You have slaves, and then when they reproduce, you separate them. So when the family got too big in Georgia, you split the mom and the dad, and you sent one to West Virginia,
You sent the other one to South Carolina. They were miles apart in a land they never knew anything about and couldn't even get to each other. So every time they had to start over again. So it's very difficult to have unity when every time you get ready to try to do something, they sell you off.
You familiar with the Willie Lynch syndrome?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Familiar with the Willie Lynch
syndrome? That's what I'm talking about.
Willie,
that's exactly what I'm talking about. They realized the best way, once they made those ferries in those islands, that's where the Willie Lynch program came in. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember
Then they had people like the one they nicknamed something box.
Yes, but wait a minute. The white man is smart enough to see that when he makes failures, he tries to fix it. There's a failure within these slaves over here. It's not working. They're not being indoctrinated as easy. We got to do something. So what they did was change the way they went about slavery. And the way they went about slavery was once a family got too big, they separated it. Once they separated the man from the woman, so there was never any unity with the kids. You, people do that now when they're molesting kids. Don't you know that what a molester does is separate the child from the parents?
That's right.
Makes sense. Yep.
Instruction.
White people never poison them.
My brother, let me take on a journey, my brother.
Go ahead.
Let me take you on a small journey. In my country, I'm from Jamaica. We don't have a rainforest over there, but I'll tell you this: we have quite a bit of mountains. And there was a black tribe in Jamaica called the Maroons. They're about 4 to 5 feet tall, and there was a group of dark-skinned Indians called Taos Indians. If you look at our currency, you'll see them on the currency with the emblem. And the Spaniards, the British, they all came there, and they enslaved the people. They began to learn our language. And then they brought in the Mandingos from Africa because they wanted the Mandingos to control the Maroons or the Taos Indians. It didn't work that way. They become friends. They are from the same seed. But they did one thing that white men never want you to do. If you're going to fight him, you must not be afraid to die, like the Indians, according to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the Maroons set the country on fire from all angles, meaning Maroons, Indians, and white men is going to die. They decide to die. The whole country was on fire. The sugar cane, the tobacco, the whole thing. You know what happened? The Spaniards run, the British run, they all ran. Now, over here, what we do, we burn our business. You can't win them like that. You can't beat them like that. But they were prepared to die, and because they were prepared to die, they won their fight. And that's where you have what they call the Patois language came from, because they had to change their language so that the British and the Spaniards could not understand them. Where we begin to drop all letters from our words, and a lot of Jamaicans take some boat went over to to Haiti, and they join up with Toussaint, and the war start against what's his name, and they won that fight again.
Napoleon.
So you have to decide to die if you want to win, and that's how simple it is. Over here, we will kill our brother, but the man who kill your own children, you'll never raise a arm against him. That's dangerous to your existence.
Yep.
But you will not hesitate to kill your brother.
Hey, brother, what part of Jamaica are you from?
Unfortunately for the slaves,
I'm a Caledonian man.
Willing to die, they let them die alone.
Okay,
I'm a Caledonian.
My ex-wife from St. Mary's, she told me that story. And she used to talk real bad about Americans. She gave me this thought that I used to always say to other people. She said, if you take a gun out and it's one white person and there's 100 blacks, and she said the white person could only have 5 bullets. But if he takes that gun out and shoots one American black, the rest of them will run.
It's
over.
They won't starve.
It's over.
She said, if you try that, she said, if you try that shit in Jamaica, you will get overrun by other people.
They will jump your ass. You only got 5 bullets. They will jump your ass. There's a way.
She always said she never understood the mentality of the blacks in America is to, they're against each other, they'll shoot it out.
It's every man for themselves mentality.
Mm-hmm. And
it took
me
10 years to understand.
Why slavery lasted so long.
That
was the reason.
Like that here.
The
reason why, the reason why it's like that here, everybody said it already. The West Indian people, this is their land, for, so to speak. The American people, this ain't our land.
Good job.
Is,
but still, not because it's not your land, mean you can't fight for your life. I'm like you said, if you got five people with it.
My point is, they have more. They're going
to
have more pride for themselves. That's theirs. They know it inside out.
This is theirs. It's like if somebody
unfortunately, even in Africa, they have that mentality. They have
that
sellout mentality.
South Africa, they did.
South Africa, they have that sellout mentality. They don't have that unite mentality.
You have 5 million blacks and 500,000 whites, and the whites run it. 5,500,000, and the whites run it.
Exactly. Because in Africa, they got that mentality, too.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, I'm like, whether it's your land or not, you have to come to a point that you say, you know what, it's not our land, but heck, y'all brought us here. So, like, hell, we going to make it our land. But none of us have that mentality.
Mm-hmm. But that's why what he said was perfect when he said they looked at it and said, well, if we're going to die, if they're going to take it, we're going to kill everybody that we can with us.
Exactly, and that's the difference with West Indians and Americans.
Sometimes you have to die to let yourself. It's like a tree.
You have to be willing to die in order to live. I mean, you got to
prune it. Yeah, it's like a tree. Sometimes you got to prune it in order for it to grow stronger, correct?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But black don't believe in it. I'll stop it right here just to go back to what that woman did. And as far as I was joking the whole show last show, this was a black woman who decided to preserve her own life over her children when she ran out because she saw the police, even though she knew the man that she had dated was had her kids in the house at gunpoint.
Wow.
I don't care how much I laughed about that. That is one of the most sad and indicative stories of the black, especially the American black, mentality. This woman decided to run out on her children who were being held at gunpoint in order to save her own life.
That's like that boy that just got killed, that high school boy. Everybody in the community could tell, oh, his mama, everybody knew the stepfather hated him. If you're his mama, you know the stepfather hated this boy. Why are you still in the relationship with this guy and keeping your child's life in danger?
Mm-hmm.
But now that the boy is dead, now everybody
wants to
come out and say something.
Now, hold on. See, you missed it. See, you missed the last show. You don't know what happened. I talked about that. That's what I was talking about. She was in the house when the man broke in at 2 o'clock in the morning. She got a cell phone and gave it to her son, the one who got shot, told him to call 911. Mm-hmm. He calls 911. The police show up. The boyfriend tells her to go to the door and tell the police that everything is okay. When she opened the door, she ran out into the arms of the police.
Oh, okay.
She left her children in the house with the man
who left them.
Yeah. That's so
awful. That's crazy. I wouldn't even leave my child in a house locked up, boarded, bolted shut, and he the only one in there. And I know I done locked the door, and I know for sure he going to be the only one in there unless somebody break the window. I wouldn't even leave my child alone in that situation. And she done ran out the house. That's just selfish.
She ran out. And knowing that if the man crazy enough to break in your house, he's about to shoot everybody because you
exactly.
just ran out to the police.
And she probably crying the loudest at the funeral.
Well, of course.
They should ban her from the funeral. She should get some kind of charge.
Yeah, she should. That's neglect. You just left your kids crazy thing in a bathroom.
This bitch said, they in there with my kids. Go get them. Thank you guys for joining the show tonight, man. This was a great show. This was ended on a perfect note. Thank you guys for coming. Make sure y'all come back on Monday where we're going to be live from the Mellow Mushroom. Y'all have a good night. Don't get in too much trouble while y'all out there on them streets.